Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
Hair Radio
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Terry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Trying to make you stay. You told me that you
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest with us today. She actually is a hairstylist, and I should say a superstar celebrity hairstylist and author. It is the Hair Radio Morning Show's great honor to welcome Miss Kim Berry. Good morning, Kim. Good morning to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It is truly a great special honor for us. Let's just start and jump right on in. We need to tell everybody what makes you a celebrity superstar stylist and one of your most notable clients, of course, the one and only Prince. Let's start there, Kim. First, tell us a little bit about yourself first. Now, you're based out where? Where are you based?
Los Angeles, California, born and raised.
Oh, really? You were actually born in, I don't know anybody who was actually born in Los Angeles.
Yes. Born and raised. My mother and father are from the country, North Carolina and Tennessee, so everybody thinks I'm from the country because I got their ways, but I'm born and raised in Cali.
Well, listen, we have a lot in common because same thing here. My parents are from North Carolina, and I lived out in Los Angeles, but you were actually born there, so that is amazing. I love that. So now tell everybody, you are a celebrity stylist. I call you a celebrity stylist. Sometimes folks, some of the hairstylists don't want to be known as a celebrity stylist. They don't want to be referred to that way. Does it bother you when someone says celebrity stylist?
No, I actually like it. I'm sorry. I was like, you worked in the industry long enough. You owe your dues. I appreciate the tag. I appreciate
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely fit the bill. So I want to, yes, well, absolutely. First of all, you have notably one of the most famous clients in the world. There is very, very few folks other than the late Prince who would be on par if there was such. So let's turn to that. Let's go back a little bit, Kim. Now, I also want to tell everybody, first of all, one of the reasons you've been out, you've talked a little bit, I saw some things online, you have authored a book that kind of chronicles a lot of this, I'm sure. Which I'm very proud about. And that book is called Diamonds and Curls with a Z. I love that on the end there.
Yeah.
Yes, and about your life working with Prince. So let's start at the beginning. I know you've been asked a lot of these questions I've seen, but I think it's a remarkable story, and I'm very excited to have you on board. So let's start at the beginning. How did this all come about? Are you what I did uncover – which I thought was a hilarious story. I did catch part of it where the Prince's former stylist before you pretty much quit on the job, so to speak. Can you, do you remember that story? Can you please tell our audience? I think it's hilarious how just the thought of it cracked me. Yes, please share that story, Kim.
Yes, I had been actually dating Prince's bodyguard, and I just kept asking him, you know, get me a job.
Well, now,
you know,
that
so
wasn't Big Coco, was it?
Yes, it was Big Coco.
Okay.
And so I have been
done my research.
Yes, I have been dating him for a while, and so finally he started taking me around to the camp, and I would hang around, you know, at the video shoots and photo shoots and things. So Prince is very astute and always watching the area, so he knows when there's someone new in the area. So he's always watching you. So I have been, like, I go whenever I go to the sets, I would always go to wherever the hairstylist and the makeup artist was. So finally I met Tanya, who was his stylist at the time, and so we just clicked, and, you know, you just meet genuine people and you become friends. And so she and I were hanging out, and she was just complaining one day, and she was like, you know what, I'm tired of doing this. I want to go home. I don't want to live out of a suitcase. And I was like, girl, you got the best job in the world. She's like, it's not what you think. And I said, Lord have mercy. I said, once I, it's funny how you covet someone else's life, but you don't know what they go through in the course of a day. And so she was like, it's not what you think, Kim. And I said, I think you work for the biggest entertainer in the world. And she was like, Kim, it's not what you think. And sure enough, my mother used to tell us all the time, you know, be careful, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And she went into, we were on a video set, I forgot what set it was that he was shooting that day, but she went into the room with Prince, and he snatched a comb out of her hand. And she said, you know what? She said, my lips are chapped from kissing your little black ass. I'm out of here. And she literally, after the video set, she packed her stuff up and she left. And I said, when you call it a holy hookup, that I was standing there and got this introduction. I had been hanging out with her. I had formed a friendship. And so the people in the camp knew who I was, you know, and it was just interesting that what God has for you is for you, and not even the gates of hell going to keep you from it. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And see, she quit, and I call it the holy hookup, that I was standing there. They were going to Germany the next day, and so they left to go to Germany. He said, tell Tanya to get the salon ready. And all the team was like, no, Tanya quit. Because, you know, Prince is used to being Prince, so he talks crazy to you, and the next day, of course, he knows you're going to be there. No,
right.
This day, Tanya packed her stuff and left. And so he said, so what do you mean? I'm going to Germany without a hairstylist? And they were like, yeah, they didn't know what to tell him. And so he was baffled, so they had to hire somebody when they got there. He hated the person. He wound up doing his own hair for the show that night. And so they come back to Los Angeles, and Coco said, get your stuff ready. He said, meet me at this club in Beverly Hills. And he said, bring your portfolio. I got my portfolio. And one thing my parents used to always instill in me, you know, if you stay ready, like the rapper say, you ain't got to get ready.
That's
so I had been doing photo shoots. I had been stacking pictures. I had my book ready. Went to the club. They had already made preparations for me to get in. And God was just awesome. It was just a move of God. So we laid the book on the table. I approached him. He looked at me like, how did you get to my table? And I was like, my name is Kim Berry. I know you don't have a hairstylist, I said, and I'd love to, you know, do your hair. And so he looked at me. He opened the book. He said, so you do hair, you know, in his, you know, snide remark way. And I said, yeah. He said, you got a salon? I said, yeah. He said, go hook it up. And so I already knew. I had been watching her, following everything she was doing, and I noticed on her table she had this hairspray. I went and bought it. If she had this gel, I went and bought it. So I was duplicating her table, never thinking that I would ever get the opportunity to do Prince. But I said, if she's using it, I'm going to use it, because she's a celebrity stylist. And so my dad used to tell me growing up, preparation, success is when preparation meets opportunity. When the opportunity presents itself, will you be prepared? And literally, the opportunity presented itself. I went to the salon. I blacked out the windows. I knew how to do that. I got the salon ready. And about an hour later, I get a phone call, and he said, Kim, this is Prince. And I said, oh, my God. And so he says, yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it. I said, oh, okay, well, no problem. I said, next time, you know, you in Los Angeles, just know you got a hairstylist. He said, well, do you travel? Now, mind you, I'm 19, 20 years old. I ain't never left Inglewood, let alone California. And so I said, yes. And yes just popped out of my mouth, and I was like, oh, my God, what did I just say? He said, okay, great. He said, we're sending a car to come pick you up. He said, meet us at the airport. I said, I'm sorry, what? He said, is there a problem? I said, no. He said, I said, oh, my God, in my mind, I'm freaking out. And so I was like, meet him at the airport. I was like, wait a minute, what's happening? But that's just how Prince does. He get down. Everybody that you know that has worked for him has the same remarkable story. Like, it's on the spot. You're getting hired. And wow. So literally, I called my mother. I hung up the phone, and I called my mother. I was like, oh, my God, I just talked to Prince. She said, stop lying. I said, no. I just talked to Prince. I said, he said that they're sitting in the car. I said, I don't have no clothes. I don't have no. She said, you better get to that airport. She said, take your curling irons and your hairspray, and you get to that airport. And she said, I'm going to send you some money in the morning. You go to Target, buy you some clothes, and you keep on moving. I said, oh, my God. So I literally took the coat on my back and my curling irons and jumped in. They sent a limousine. I went to LAX. Him and his brother was on the plane. I walked past them, sat down on the plane, flight booked, everything.
When
first
you say
time
on
thought,
a plane,
no,
was this a commercial plane?
No, commercial
or?
Airline, yes.
Okay.
But for most part, he did commercial. And I just couldn't believe it was happening. I was like, oh, my God, there's Prince. And went and got on sat down on the plane. And first time I got off the plane, I saw snow. I was like, oh, my God, it's
that's
Christmas
like you're
Eve.
From California. That's
yes.
Great.
So seasons were – it was the first time I met seasons was traveling with Prince. And so saw snow. I got to the gates opened to Paisley Park, and I was like, oh, my God, it does exist. Wow. They walk me through the back door. I go upstairs to the hair salon in the back room. And it was just amazing. I'm like, oh, my God, this is happening. So his brother walks in. His brother said, okay, you're going to do me first. And I said, okay, great. So I'm trained for this. So my beauty school teacher would hand me 6 or 7 towels at a time, train me on speed, train me on ability. And he said, look, he said, quality and then quantity, never sacrificing one for the other. He said, your first head needs to look as good as your last head. So I said, okay, got it. I've already been trained, got it. I've already been putting it in my path and getting me ready for the opportunity such as this. And I did his brother hair and 4 women that were there hanging out with them that night, and one behind the other, bam, knocking down heads. So his brother said, okay, well, he'll be in a few minutes. I said, okay, 1 hour goes by. 2 hours go by. I'm sitting there. I'm looking around. Now, I'm in Paisley Park. You can see the purple rain jacket in the corner, a raspberry beret outfit. There's jewelry laying around. I sat there with my hands in my lap, and I said, Mama used to say, if you go in somebody else's house, you don't touch nothing that don't
exactly.
belong to you. I sat right there for 2.5 hours with my hands in my lap. I said, okay, I don't know what's going on, but if they don't know that I know that it's a camera's watching me, I
exactly.
said, okay. So finally, his brother.
Well, you were very smart for 19, though. You're very
absolutely.
Smart. That was very
absolutely.
Wild.
Absolutely. Yeah, Mama didn't play that.
They taught
Mama
you very
trained
well.
Me. Absolutely. So I sat there, and his brother stuck his head in the door and said, you didn't steal nothing, did you? I said, excuse me, first of all. I said, Mom, I knew this was a test. I said, my mom ain't raised no fools. I said, second of all, quit playing with me. I got to go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
He said, you could have went to the bathroom. So he's laughing at me. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, no, I ain't moving through this man's house. This is his house.
And
so
he
said,
and
so I stayed right there. And so he said, okay, for real. So I got settled, and he said, okay, for real. He coming in a few minutes. I said, don't you leave me sitting here. Now, mind you, Paisley Park is a self-contained. They call it a creative battleship. And so inside Paisley Park, there's kitchens, so they can make their own food. There's studios. There's a hair salon. There's a dance studio, there's a disco, there's a performance area. That, like, this place is massive.
And
when
there are elevators inside there. We saw a little bit of it. There are elevators inside there.
It's a complete compound. It is
compound,
amazing.
Yeah.
Even now, when Oprah Winfrey came, Oprah Winfrey was like, I thought Harpo Studios was huge. She said, my studio will fit inside of here. She said, this is massive. So if you would have pressed Oprah Winfrey, you know you're doing something.
You got that right. And
yes,
I've only known one or two to do that. So you're right.
Absolutely, yes. And
wow.
So finally Prince stuck his head in the door, and I was like, oh, my God, he's so little. Like, it didn't matter. Like, when you see Prince on stage, he's larger than life. He is this huge
right.
entity. But when you see him in person, he's a small stature man. He's
That's
very
right.
quiet. He's very humble. He's very meek. And he used to ask me all the time, you know, I got like 10 personalities. I was like, yeah, I met all of them. So it's a different Prince in every element of the, but he stuck his head in the door. He said, yeah, I love your work. He said, but you can't have those nails in my head. He said, I'm tender-headed. I said, okay, click, 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 click. I just started breaking off all 10 nails right there in front of it. He started laughing. He said, oh, my God. He said, you are so funny. He said, okay, yeah, you're going to work. He said, go back to the hotel. We're going to Miami in the morning. I said, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I said, you're not getting your hair done? He said, no, I'm good. Don't worry about it. It's too late. He said, well, I'll see you in Miami. I'll see you at the airport. I was like, oh, my God. So I'm packing up my stuff, and I'm just like, so did I just get hired? What just happened? I was like, oh, my God. So we get to Miami. We stay there for a few days. He says, Kim, order whatever you want. He said, just hang out. I'll let you know when I'm ready to get my hair done. I said, okay. But a few days later, he called me. He said, we're going to Chicago in the morning. I said, you're not getting your hair done? He said, don't worry about me. I'm good. I said, okay. So I called my mother. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm moving from city to city. My mom said, just keep going. Keep going. She had sent me some money. I went to Target before we got on the airplane. I bought me some clothes. I said, oh, my God. I was like, what is happening? I was asking my mother. I said, who lives like this? My mother said, you do. And that's when my reality shifted, and I was like, I'm a celebrity hairstylist. Like, I'm rolling with Prince. So Prince rolls with his bodyguard, his hairstylist, and sometimes that's just it, his bodyguard and his hairstylist. But we were going from city to city. They were partying. They were doing their thing. And every night he called me, Kim, you good? Okay, just get what you want. Just let, you know, I'll see you in the next city. Finally, we get to New York. And I had been with him like 2 weeks that by then. He still didn't get his hair done. He said, Kim, get the salon ready. I said, okay, here we go. So I get the salon. I find the salon. I got a private room. I set everything up. I got everything laid out exactly how he's used to seeing it. So and knowing that he's a creature of habit, I had studied Tanya's habits. Yes. And so I got ready. He walked in. We had a consultation. He said, okay, I want color. I want a perm. He said, you know, I need a cut. And he said, so, you know, let's do it. Now, before we get to him, his brothers tell me on the way to the salon, don't touch his ears. Don't look him in the face. Don't do this. Don't spill water on him. I said, wait a minute, Jack. Y'all making me nervous. I said, I do this for a living. Don't you mess me up. And he said, no. He said, and then what was funny was everything they told me don't do, I did. I said, but the Prince took it all in stride. And when I tell you that I hooked that hair up. I said, Kim, breathe. I said, you got this. Relax. He ain't no different than nobody else.
He's just a person.
I said,
exactly.
I said, you do this. I spilled water down his face while he was in the shampoo bowl. He said, okay, lady, wait a minute. It tastes like you're trying to drown me. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I touched him up. Got it back together. We finished that hair. He looked in the mirror, did his little left-right look. He spun around on them heels. He was like, okay. He said, see you later. He said, your limo's waiting for you outside. And he spun around on them heels and disappeared into a puff of purple smoke. And I was like, I looked out the window. The limo driver was waving at me. He said, I was like, okay, Kim, yeah, you a celebrity hairstylist. I said, wow. And literally I've been rolling with him for 29 years after that. It was the most amazing journey I had ever experienced, you know, and I take nothing for granted. I thank God that he could have chose anyone else, and he did. There were other hairstylists that came in and out throughout my career, but Kim always got the call to come back.
Wow.
And it was beautiful. Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, I can speak to one thing only with regards to ever seeing Prince. I saw him one time live.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I ran into him in Los Angeles. I remember this. It was the early 90s, and myself and one of my colleagues and at the time, we were in the airline business, of course, and I remember flying out to Los Angeles. And we showed up at this club. It was all the rage back in the early 90s. It was on Sunset, called Roxbury.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And Prince was there. We were on a second floor, and they let us into Roxbury. Now, this Roxbury club, they had, when I tell you they had all these fancy cars pulling up.
Absolutely.
And I do mean fancy. It was right there off that little turn off Sunset. It was on Sunset, if I recall.
Yeah,
and I remember all these fancy cars. Now, my friend Richard and I, we showed up. Do you remember the station wagons that had the little panel on the side?
Yes,
you may not go back that far, Kim, but they had station wagons with the panel on the side. Now, we showed up at the Roxbury getting out of a station wagon with the panel on the side.
Right.
And
okay.
We go up to the door, and the gentleman says, you know, he looks at our ID. He sees we're from New York. He knows that we are definitely not the typical caliber that's coming into the club. Well, we didn't know this. I don't even remember how we ended up there, but we didn't know it at the time. So we go in, and we heard that Madonna's dancers were there, and they had all these people. We didn't hear that Prince was there, but they had all these other celebrities who were there. And we ended up on, they had a balcony on the second floor, and who do we see but Prince? We're seated on the second floor. Prince literally walks by with, we assumed, his bodyguard. It was he and one fellow. That was it. So it kind of fits in with what everything that you said. And he just walks by us, but the bodyguard gives us a look like, don't approach him, don't ask. So we didn't.
Right.
And he walked by. He wasn't much taller than us sitting down as he walked by, and I'm not exaggerating. And that was the only time that we ever had any, that I've ever had any run-in, if you want to call it a run-in, but he walked right by me. So I never forgot that. Now, I have to say, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the All-New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very special guest with us today, her name is Kim Berry, and she is what I, by all accounts, to be a celebrity superstar hairstylist, and she is also an author, and her book, so super popular out there, called Diamonds and Curls, and that's with a Z. And this is about her life story with none other than Prince, the superstar. So I have to say, Kim, let's pick up with that. Or even go back a little bit. Now, where did all of this come from? I know that you were in, you had gone to beauty school and all that, but what about before that? What inspired you out in the California and the L.A. area to get into hair care and all of that? What was that inspiration? And then we'll move to the book. Where did that come from?
What's really hilarious is I had no inclination, never thought about being a hairstylist.
Really?
I was going to school, I was going to be a doctor, and I was going to, you know, whatever, you know, life was going to take me. I had graduated early from high school, top 10% of my class.
Wow.
So I told Mom, I said, I did everything you told me to do. I said, I'm taking a year off. She said, a year off? I said, yeah. I said, I'm not going to college right away. I'm just going to chill out. I said, and you know, just find myself. I said, I didn't, you know, have no babies. I brought you a diploma. I did everything you told me to do. I said, now I'm just going to chill. She said, okay, great. So about 2 or 3 months into that, she said, what you getting ready to do? I said, I'm sorry, what are you talking about? I said, I'm taking a year off. I'm just going to chill. And she said, no, ma'am. She said, ain't but one queen in this house. She said, so you going to get up? You going to get a job? You going to school? Or you going to get the hell out of my house? Oh. I said, wait a minute. I'm the baby. I done did everything. I did everything you told me to do. I said, I can't chill. I said, the boys is chilling. Why I can't chill? She said, Kim, did you hear what I said? So I got mad, went walking up the street down to Crenshaw Boulevard in L.A., and walked up into Pacific Beauty College. So I just walked in. I said, let me go see what they talking about in here. And walked in Pacific Beauty College, sat down at the table with Mr. Cedric Goins, the owner of the school. He told me everything about his beauty college and what it entailed. And I was like, well, forget it. I'm going to just do this for the meantime just to get her off my back. So before I knew it, Mr. Goins had me signing on the dotted line. He said, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I said, wait, tomorrow? School start tomorrow? He said, yes. He said, I'll see you tomorrow. He said, make sure your lab coat is bright and white. Make sure your shoes is clean because I will lock you outside. I said, I'm sorry. What did I just sign up for? So sure enough, got my things ready for school. I came home, brought the paperwork, showed it to my mother. I said, well, I hope you happy. I go to beauty school now. She said, I hope you happy. And went in her room and closed the door. I said, oh, my God. I said, this lady here. I said, what did I do? So sure enough, went to beauty school. Every day there was a teacher there, Miss Cooper. She used to ask me every day, what are you doing here, Barry? I said, I'm here because my mother making me come here. She said, oh, really? She said, oh, well, you know by the end of these 12 months, I'm going to turn you into a hairstylist. I said, you're not going to turn me into nothing. I'm just here because I gotta be here so my mother stay off my back. She said, yeah, okay. So sure enough, about 6 months into the course, mind you, this is a 12-month course that I finished in 9 months because I was so mad. I did not miss a day. I went every day. I wanted to get this over with. I was mad. I joined in the middle of the summer. My friends are like, Kim, come on. We're going to the beach. We're going to Disneyland. I said, no, I got to go to school. I'm not playing with y'all. I'm going to knock this out. In the course of being in beauty school, I met a young sister named Pat who had been there for almost 4 years. I said, you know that's not real college, right? You know we supposed to get out of here in this year. So I knew that I wasn't going to prolong this no longer than I had to. So sure enough, 6 months into the course, they did a statewide competition. 200 kids came out from all over California. You had to bring a model. We didn't know that it was a head-to-toe competition. I just happened to tell one of my homegirls, can I use you as a model? She was like, yeah. So I said, okay, I knew she had been, she was an only child, spoiled rotten. I said, okay, bring your stuff. Her mother had bought her like 6 or 7 prom dresses. She came dressed to the nines. When I tell you, beautiful gown, gloves, diamonds, the whole nine. So, I, of course, for the getting her ready for the hair show, I was like, do you mind if I cut your hair? She was like, yeah, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. I turned my sister's hair orange. I turned it pink. I said, oh, my God. I kept going back to Miss Cooper, like, can you help me? She said, no, go to your textbook. Now, mind you, she helping everybody in the school. I said, oh, my God. I was like, you helping this person, you helping that person. She said, go back to your textbook. I was like, what in the world? So I said, okay. Finally figured out her hair color, got her color corrected, got her straight. We go to the competition. Like I said, my girl showed up, head to toe, beautiful gown, hair butter was whipped. So we get to the competition. It's a 2-day competition. Out of 200 kids, I placed top 10. So out of the top 10, the top 10 come back the next day. And out of, she showed up again, bam, banging hair, bam, banging dress, outfit, outstanding. We get to the competition out of top 10. Kim Berry takes first place. When
get
they hand me the
here.
Trophy, absolutely. When they hand me the trophy and the check, Miss Cooper walks over to me and she said, no help from her, mind you. She was watching from a distance, though. She said, didn't I tell you I was going to turn you into a hairstylist? I said, oh, my God. I said, so I didn't know I was getting Mr. Miyagi's wax on, wax on, wax on. Wax. I said, it was so intricate of how all of these people played a part in my journey to get me to the finish line. Like I said, Mr. Goins, the owner of the school, built my speed up. Miss Cooper made sure that my technique was on point because everything was by the book. She took me out of class early one Easter and made me go on the floor. And I was like, oh, my God. I said, I don't have no business on the floor. I just started in beauty school. She said, you got this, Kim. I'm doing this lady's hair. Did a pocket curl, burned this lady's hair. She walked up to me. She said, Kim, she said, did you burn this lady's hair? I said, absolutely not. She walked through this lady's head and found the exact spot. I had took the curl, put it in my pocket. They call it a pocket curl. Put the curl in my pocket. I was like, she said, now, the next time, she said, first of all, these people know that you're in beauty school. Now, the next time I ask you, did you make a mistake, just say, yeah. I was like, oh, my God, I'm embarrassed. I'm going to leave the floor. I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going to shrink up. She said, these people know that you're in beauty school, so it's okay. They're willing to take the risk because they know that, you know, you're learning. I was like, wow, who knew? I said, I was so embarrassed. She was like, now finish this lady's hair and let's keep on going. And so they gave the lady a little gift certificate to come back and get her hair done again and, you know, for free and all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, oh, my God. I said, didn't even know that all of this was building me up, building my character to get me ready for the real test that I was about to, you know, the journey that I was about to partake in. So everybody along your path, you have to know that it's some form of an angel, some form of a teacher. So it was just an incredible journey getting to this point because I never thought about doing hair, didn't want to be a hairstylist. Knocked that 12-month course out in 9 months when I graduated, and still 30 years later went back to the beauty school. Mr. Goins said, I always talk about you. I tell all my students about Kim Berry, that Kim Berry is a celebrity hairstylist. Matter of fact, our school is one of the highest ones that has most of the celebrity hairstylists. Candida Farmer, Candida is a celebrity hairstylist. Everyone knows her in California. Pam Farmer, celebrity makeup artist. Kim Liu is another celebrity makeup artist who graduated from our school. So we produce some of the biggest.
Apparently.
Yes, makeup and hair artists that work in the industry to this date in California. Like, it was just amazing how they all led a part in my journey. And it's just amazing. When I look back on it, I thank God. I don't take nothing for granted, and I bless God for every part of my journey.
Absolutely. I love everything that you have said. And I have to tell you, I got to go back to one part which just cracks me up. I can't wait to, just to remind everybody better. But it reminds me so much. I love your journey, and we have so much in common. But I think this is every black mama who says,
yes.
You can't, because I swear to you, it's the same story. I had grown up thinking that I'm going to just lay in the house when I graduated high school and thinking I'm just going to sit around the house, you know, and I don't have to go to school now, so great.
Right.
And my mama, she told me you're going to get a job or go to school or get out,
right.
Literally
That's
in
right.
that order. And so that's when you, right. I said, oh, my God, you brought back memories. So I'm sure that's every black mama in
yes.
America. We don't play that stuff. We
no,
really
mama
don't.
No, mama don't play that.
Not
mama
at all.
Yes.
And especially from North Carolina. Anybody from North
right.
Carolina, ain't nobody playing that kind of thing. Now, let
that's
me
right.
tell you, I love this. I love the story. You are just amazing. If you're just tuning in, I better bring everybody up to speed. You're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. This is a very, very special interview this morning with none other than I'm calling you the superstar celebrity hairstylist, Miss Kim Berry. Again, we're welcoming you to the show. She's also the author of Diamonds and Curls, and that's Curls with a Z. So when you guys are out there Googling it or going on to Amazon or picking up the book, definitely you want to search it correctly. So tell us about this amazing book. Now, I've seen some of the things online. Tell us about Diamonds and Curls.
Yes, Diamonds and Curls is my memoirs, 29 years rolling with rock royalty. That's my book. Working for one of the most iconic stars in the world. Like, you know, I tell everybody this little girl from the hood did good, you know. It was just amazing. Of how basically our lives were so intertwined, he and I together. We literally grew up together. And because most marriages, like I said, I outdid both of his marriages. He was only married for 4 years apiece. And I outlived his lawyers, his doctors, his wives. You know, I was there when his mother died, when his father died, when his baby died. I was there for some of the most intricate highs and some of the worst lows of his life. And God chose me to walk alongside this man, you know. So I'm telling intimate stories of literally how I, you know, was there. Some of the stories were just, it was just he and I, like, you know, and how we laughed together, how we prayed together, how we bagged on each other's mamas together. Like, it was just the most incredible journey. So I'm not telling the stories about, you know, book sales and, you know, concerts and all that. There's enough of those books out there. I'm telling the more intimate side. Nothing scandalous, nothing salacious. Just literally our everyday life of how I walked alongside, you know, one of the most, like I said, biggest names of our time, that he literally created the soundtrack to our lives, you know. And I'm telling the intimate stories, the part that people would never get a glimpse of unless, you know, I pulled the curtain back. One of my hashtags is behind the purple curtain, and showing people what life was like on an everyday journey with this man.
Now, did I uncover somewhere that you were not necessarily a Prince fan at first, you know, before you started working with him in that way? You were aware of him and his music, but you weren't necessarily like the number one fan. So
nope.
How did that happen, or how did it come about, and did that change along the way?
Well, hanging around him, you have to become a fan. He teaches you what real music is.
Yes.
I had knew his popular things, Little Red Corvette, Kiss. I remember watching Kiss on a video, just watching it, and I was
you
just
knew
staring.
The 80s.
Yes. So yeah. I knew of him, but I, like I said, never thought that I would wind up working with him. I wasn't a fan, and so I think that's another reason what kept me around so long, because I wasn't so geeked out and tripping off of him when I got around him. It was a job for me to do. I showed up, like one of the fans said on my page yesterday, I would have just kissed him, you know, and I said, and you would have just been fired. So, you know what I mean? So I didn't fan out over him. I wasn't geeked out. I showed up every day. I did what I was supposed to do. I tell people all throughout the book that I served him as if he was God himself, you know, because everything that I do, my mother had already instilled in me, you do it with excellence, you know, and whether it be the trash man or the biggest man on the totem pole, you serve everybody with respect, and you do it with excellence. And so it was nothing for me to show up every day. Like, it was a blur. It went by in a blur, because It was just what I did every day. I served this man. I was with him sometimes 6 months out of the year, gone away from my family. I miss holidays. I miss, you know, big things. Even, you know, I was telling some people, my daughter's first steps, once my daughter was born, I missed my daughter's first steps being on the road with Prince. I came home off the road. My mother said, I have a surprise for you. And my daughter came walking across the floor. I was like, no, like I missed my daughter's first steps. You know, so you miss some big things in life at home. But, you know, family was able to enjoy some beautiful things. They were able to travel the world with me sometime, my mom and my daughter. And you know, but they had some beautiful Christmas and holidays because of Prince, you know. So, I said, so it was awesome. The exchange was well worth it, you know, the exchange. So a lot of my friends were like, oh, if I were you, I wouldn't take, because Prince talked crazy to you and expect you to be there in the morning. I wouldn't take this off of him. And, you know, I wouldn't let him say that to me. I said, okay, let me see now. You at home on your mama's couch, and I'm in Switzerland in one of the most beautiful hotels in the world. So don't tell me what you won't take off somebody, because I said, you'll do what you got to do to get the job done. So those, all those stories will be. So right now, Volume 1 is out now, and I'm actually going to re-release Volume 1 April 22nd of next year. I'm looking forward to adding some new stories to the book, what I'm doing is 10-year chronicles at a time. So I'm doing, Volume 2 and Volume 3. So the fans have looking forward. So they're already chomping at the bit and asking, when's the next book coming out? Because I ended every book on a cliffhanger. So each one will end. So, you know, back in the day when we had Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boy Mysteries,
the
book will be like that. And so each book will end on a cliffhanger leading you to the next book. Instead of doing, you know, this big, thick Bible-type book, it's like putting 30 years in one book. I didn't want to do that to the fans. I didn't want to bore them. So there's pictures in the book, behind-the-scenes pictures. There's, like I said, stories. There's also, they always ask me, like, well, what products did you use on Prince's hair? And what what type of makeup did he use? And what type of soap? So I have what's called the endorphin. What Prince had a song called the Endorphin Machine. And so in each part of the book, there's a small section, and there's cartoons that are drawn by Mr. Gary, and then there's another brother who's an artist. His name is, oh my God, just because I'm trying to tell you, oh, his name escapes me. Anyway, there's an artist who illustrated the book, and that I'm going to tell you his name in just a few minutes.
The
brother's name is Moiselle. His name is Moiselle.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, he did these beautiful illustrations in the book. So the book is beautifully designed. And so we have the artist pictures by Moiselle. Then there's the cartoon characters that of my hairstyles all over the world. So Gary lent his expertise to the book as well. So both of those brothers, I appreciate them so much. In each part of the book, the endorphin pages are different anecdotes of, you know, things that I've shared with Prince, different hair products that I've used on him. And speaking of hair products, before Prince passed away, we were coming up with a product line, which I'm definitely going to produce. I'm bringing it to manifestation. It'll be coming out real soon. So we have a hair product line that's inspired by Prince. The fans are going to love it. It's going to be beautiful. The packaging is amazing, and I can't wait to get it to the masses. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I can't wait, because you're going to come right here to the Hair Radio Morning Show and tell everybody all about it. We're so happy for you. Well, listen,
Kim,
want to, absolutely. Well, I also want to find out, you know, some of the actual stylings and things like that. Now, did you go with him, like, during concerts and literally work at the concerts, or were you mainly just at the house on that before he left the house, or how did all that work?
Well, when I first started, it was the early, I graduated after high school and then beauty school. I only did stuff when he came to L.A. But as things progressed, I literally became his everyday stylist. So I traveled like I was his right hand. Like, Prince didn't go anywhere without his hairstylist and his bodyguard, like I said before. So I was everywhere with him, every concert. Like, people ask me to this day, were you there at this party? I was at every after party. I was at every concert. I was at every – so for 29 years, if you could imagine, literally all over the world, wherever Prince was, Kim was somewhere in the background.
Wow. Now, we're just trying to wrap our brain around that, because you're talking about being a young person and literally seeing the world. Now, what about some of the other celebrities? Did you was Prince your only client during that period, or did you also do some other hits?
No, thank God. Over the time, over the years, I was able to work on, when I would come back to Los Angeles, I had the opportunity. I was good friends with Cat Williams' manager.
Cat Williams.
Cat Williams has been a client of mine for the last 10 years. I just did a movie with him called 2 Minutes of Fame. It was the most hilarious event of my life. There were so many comedians: Sinbad, George Wallace, Lunell, Red Grant,
wow,
Jay Farrow, you name it. They were on set. We laughed all week. It was the most hilarious thing that I have ever done. Meet the Blacks, you know, did Hair with Cat. Every one of his comedy shows that you've seen in the last 10 years, that's all Kim Berry's hairstyles on Cat Williams. DJ Quick is a client of mine. Wendy Raquel Robinson, Loretta Devine, Tamara Mari. God has just really been in the blessing business. I have been able to touch some of the most beautiful celebrities, and it's been a great journey. It's just been amazing, and I'm looking forward to what God is you know, going to do next. So still working on photo shoots and videos to this day. So I'm still rolling in the industry. Because people are like, well, what are you going to do now? Like, I was just going to crawl in a hole and die. No, when I met Prince, I was doing hair. When I die, I'm going to be doing hair. So I'm still rolling. I'm like, I tell people, don't, you ain't seen the end of me yet. So don't count me out. God ain't finished with me yet. So I'm looking forward to what God is about to do. So like I said, I have the product line coming out, the hair extension line that's going to be coming out. I'm up to some big things. God is doing it, and I'm excited about what he's about to do.
Well, I see that you're on the Hair Radio Morning Show, so we know that you're on to big things, and we love it. What I cannot wait to get into, and this is a great time to talk about this, we're excited. We're excited to have you, because we're going to be exploring having you to come back and give us a full series on this amazing life. And I want to say it's based on Diamonds and Curls, which is your amazing book. Again, Curls is spelled with a Z. So when you Google it out there, and Kim Berry is an amazing author out there with this telling and retelling of the stories of her life with Prince for 29 years. That's a long time. So,
yes,
you talked about some of the different changes along the way, not so much changes, but some of the different experiences along the way that you had an opportunity to have a front row seat, literally, could have been a concert seat, but literally a front row seat to this man's extraordinary life. Was there any part of it that really kind of, that you were kind of surprised, you didn't expect Mr. Prince to be that way, you know? So some kind of, you might have gone and thinking he was one way, and then come to find out he was totally different, and maybe in a pleasant way. So anything you want to kind of share with us about any kind of thing like that?
Well, like I said, he was a practical joker.
Really?
He played jokes on people all the time. if you go back to the Morris Day times, they literally kidnapped some of the band members and came out on the stage and played for Morris. Like, if you read, I tell everybody, if you read everybody's stories, if you lined all our books up, you know, year, you'll find out who the man Prince really was. Because one thing about it, he was consistent. He had his, I call it, you know, asshole moments. He was mean to you. He had his moments where he was loving. He had his moments where he was hilarious. He had his moments where, you know, it was just an awesome experience all the way around.
He felt like he was an all-around person to me.
Absolutely. Most people, you know, they want to make it like, oh, he floated on a cloud and, you know, he pooted purple dust. No, he was a human being. He was a man. That's what I'm telling about in my book, is the humanity side of Prince, that he was a man, that he laughed, that he cried, that he desired certain things, that he longed for certain things, that he, you know, just like all of us, he put his pants on one leg at a time. And so people want to be like, oh, he's this mystic god. No, he was a human being. And he hurt, he laughed, he cried, he was human. And that's what I love about it. I'm trying to think of one moment that the Dave Chappelle moment when Dave Chappelle talked about the shirts and the blouses. That story was absolutely true. Now, mind you, we were all sitting in the kitchen in Paisley Park, and so they had just got through, you know, having a recording session in the studio, so the band members, everybody in there, that was our normal thing, everybody hanging out in the kitchen, laughing and talking and eating lunch. And so then on comes the Dave Chappelle show. And so they do the shirts and the blouses. Now, mind you, everybody in the room is cracking up laughing. And so they're laughing because Prince is the butt of the joke. And so this is a true story that really happened. Charlie Murphy and all the crew came and played basketball against Prince. Inside Paisley Park, there's a full basketball court. Most people don't know that Prince was a basketball superstar in high school.
Wow.
And literally would go out and ball you crazy in his 6-inch heels. Do you hear me?
Wow.
Like the boy did not play. He could play some basketball. So anybody that came in Paisley Park was getting challenged to basketball, ping pong, whatever he could whoop you at, you was going to get challenged at it. And so he had a full ping pong table set up in Paisley. It was awesome all the time. And so the show came on, and I was just cracking up laughing, and he's looking at me like, "That's funny to you, Kim?" I said, "Oh, let me straighten up. No, sir, that's not funny." I said, "But come on now, you know that's funny." And we laughed at Prince so hard that day, but it was just so amazing because we all knew it was true, that it really did happen. And so so it was just awesome to just be around him, you know. And when he would laugh at you, if we was having a bag session and he'd be bagging on people's mamas, him and the guys in the band would be going back and forth. He would read jokes, like books on your mama jokes. So he would clown them. He was just hilarious. And so it was funny, especially if he bagged on you and it was funny, he was going to laugh from his gut, like he would scream. Like, it was just so funny. But when it was, he was the butt of the joke. You know, he'd look at you sideways. "That's funny to you, Kim?" I'm like, "Oh, no, sir, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you." He's like, "I'm not laughing, Kim." And I was just like, "Yeah, you know this funny." I said, so he was just a real dude. And it was just amazing just to be around him, you know. And I just love it. I just love that I had the opportunity to walk alongside that man. It was so amazing.
Kim, I have to take you to this part. What do you miss most about Prince?
I really got to say his laugh. That voice, everybody was like, you know, did he talk really deep? No, well, yeah, he did. But he had the whisper, you know, especially if somebody was around that he didn't know who was in the room, he would come up behind me and whisper in my ear, "Who's that to your left?" And "Who's that?" I'd be like, "Okay, that's your lighting director. You don't know who that is." Like, it's so many people on tour, you don't know who it is. But, you know, I miss that laugh, the joy that he carried in his heart, always joking around, just being a all-around funny dude. That laugh, I think more than anything, I'm going to miss that laugh. And the funny faces that he would make, the smirks and the side eyes, and the, you know, if somebody was in the room, oh my God, like him and I would communicate literally by eyeballs. Like, "Do you see this fool? Like, do you see what's happening? Do you, you know?" And it would be so funny, like the little things that we created over the years, you know. Him and Maite had a sign language, you know, that they would speak in. And it was just all kind of stuff that, you know, he created over the years. Everybody in the camp had their own little thing with him, you know, that everybody can speak on. So that's what was just amazing. Like I said, if you line all the books up, you'll literally learn the different parts of Prince and how amazing he was.
Well, we are talking about Diamonds and Curls with a Z. By the amazing celebrity superstar stylist, Miss Kim Berry, the 29-year, you know, hairstylist relationship with Prince, superstar Prince. This has been something that, to me, I think it's kind of unparalleled. I don't think I know of too many folks out there who've been with the celebrity that long. Now, maybe there's some, but very few stories. So, what do your family members think now, and also your friends, and how did they react? Because sometimes friends can be a little jealous. Sometimes we're going to just put it on out there of the types of things that you were able to accomplish in your life. Did you ever experience that, where some were a bit on the jealous side, or no?
Not really. All my friends were cool for the most part. Like
you
I
had
said,
real friends.
Yeah. You had some people, like I said, that would listen to my stories. I wasn't too many people I could talk to that was outside of the camp. So I kept it, you know, real close to the belt. But a few people that I did tell different stories of what I was going through or how I experienced life, you know, on the road and, you know, being with this man. You know, I had a few smart Alex, like I said, that would talk crazy and be like, I wouldn't take that off of him. I wouldn't let him say that to me. I'm like, don't tell me what you wouldn't say or what you wouldn't take. I said, because like I said, you at home sitting on your mama's couch and I'm literally sitting in, you know, we went in the ice hotel in Switzerland and we traveled on camels across the sands in Egypt and walked through pyramids and, you know, I had an amazing life with this guy. And so, you know, it wasn't much that you could share. Like, people didn't even know that it was even me until the camera showed up on my doorstep and interviewed me, you know, the night that Prince died and the day after Prince died and all these people. I was on 2020 and all these other, you know, fabulous television shows, and people are like, that was you all these years, you know, that was you. I was like, yeah, it was me, you know. And so we collaborated on hairstyles, like we collaborated, you know, with his music, and you know, so it wasn't many people that I could talk to. I had to keep it close to the belt, and the few people that did know it was me, one of my girlfriends, Shanice Wells, she would tell me all the time, she said, you so humble, you so down to earth, like people didn't know, like you would get off the plane coming from Milan, and then you'd be like, let's go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and get a two-piece, because I was never geeked up, I was never haughty or high on myself, I knew what I did, I knew who I served, I knew who I walked alongside, but like I said, most people didn't know that they, like I would be in an elevator one day, it was Lala Anthony and, you know, a couple other, you know, high-end girls in the radio industry, and they were talking about, girl, Prince changed his hairstyles like I changed underwear, you know.
And they
I
was didn't just know like,
they,
you were
they didn't
right
even
there.
Know that Prince celebrity, Prince stylist was standing right next to him, you know. And so I kept it to myself, and I just rolled along because Prince was a private person, you know, and up until the time of his death, you know, many people didn't know much about him, you know. So I said, there's a lot of people, there's people writing books and stories, telling stories about him that didn't even know him. They're talking about the Prince that they think they know. So who better to tell the story than the person that walked alongside him directly, you know. And I got death threats when I decided to write the book, and people told me, you don't have any business telling his story, you know, sit down somewhere and be quiet. Why does the little black girl have to sit down somewhere and be quiet? Why can't she tell her story? But there are people out in the industry that's selling books that's telling their story that didn't know anything about Prince, or they're telling the theoretical part of Prince. But I can tell you directly how he loved and how he spoke and how he thought and how he walked, you know. So why don't I get to tell my story? So finally I stopped living in fear and decided to be the woman and be the person that Prince literally built me up to be. And taught me how to be, like I said, he and I grew up together and became different people because God placed us in each other's lives. So I tell people, they like, how did you think that you would been able to be there for so long? It was the God in me that saw the God in him, and he needed that around him. He needed somebody real that wasn't a yes man, that wasn't, you know, he used to call me, you know, his homegirl from the hood. So he used to ask me all the time, what was the pulse in the neighborhood? What were people thinking about his music? What did people think? So I literally had his ear. I literally was able to influence some of the things that Prince did in his music and throughout his career that people don't
know
about.
Prince, you
know,
would ask you, like, you were kind of like your, you know, the ear to the ground, or what are they supposed to call it? But you knew, you know, he would kind of let you kind of gauge what, or he would use you to gauge what the folks kind of might have thought of him. So
absolutely.
So he would bring music into the studio.
He would bring music into the studio, and he would play me some of the songs. And, you know, he knew if I stood kind of stoic and didn't move, he was like, you ain't feeling that. I was like, no. And so then he would play a certain song, and I'd be like, oh, okay, that's banging. Yeah, that's going to be a banger right there. So I remember one night we were in the hair salon, and we were doing his hair, and he said, Kim, I need your voice. And I said, what you mean? He was like, I said, I can't sing. He said, don't worry about it. I can make you sound any way I need you to sound. I was like, he said, I just need the voice. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So we go into the studio, and he told me what to say, and people don't know that I'm on one of the tracks, Get Freaky, Let Your Head Bob. And I was like, that song to this day is one of my favorite songs of Prince. Get Freaky, Let Your Head Bob. Get Freaky, Get Funky. I was like, "That's," and I'm on that track, and people don't even know. And it is so amazing, like, what,
I
like,
gotta, we're gonna play that. We gotta get that song.
Absolutely. I love it. One of my other favorite songs of his is Face Down. When he brought the beat in the studio, he was like, Kim, what you think about this beat? And I was like, oh my God, just dope. And he came in there one night. He was like, Kim, this is what we gotta do. Go buy me some church hats. Go get me some boas. Go get this. So we got some of the wildest outfits. Me and his wardrobe person ran out to this costume store, brought back all this crazy stuff. So you'll see them in church hats. And so I wasn't just his hairstylist. I literally was his all-around go-to girl. So I worked doing whatever needed to be done in wardrobe. And if it was trash on the floor, he'd be like, Kim, pick it up. You know, come on now. You my girl. Let's have my back. So there was no, I served as a bodyguard sometimes. I served as you know, his personal go-to girl. So it was just amazing. You know, like, people wound up after he passed, like, how did I wind up with so many of his things? Because I wasn't just his hairstylist. I literally was his all-around go-to girl. I held the makeup. I held the clothing. I had his shoes. I had his socks. I had his handkerchiefs. So I had to be prepared for whatever he needed. I was the all-around go-to girl. I wasn't just his hairstylist. We left hairstylist-client relationship long after, way before, yeah. And it's like I said, most people aren't with their lawyers and the doctors for more than 20-plus years, and I outlived everything that went through Prince's life, his relationships, his lawyers, his doctors, his everything. I saw him grow into the man that he became, and it was just a beautiful journey, and that's what you'll see throughout the book, Diamonds and Curls. I tell people Prince was the diamond and I was the curls of the book. And so my book is based on the different facets of a diamond, the cut, color, clarity, and the, you know, the characteristics of a diamond. So all those different chapters, the book is broke down into those chapters, and my stories fall in between all of those, the cut of a man, the color of a man, the clarity, and what made him up to be that person. And so that's how my book is based on the diamond, and just showing how, you know, Farrakhan gave a quote just saying how beautiful the colors that he gave off throughout his lifestyle and of the diamond. And so that's why I brought that into my book. And so I'm just excited about, like I said, to share my story of who this man was and bring it to the nations of the humanity of
absolutely.
Who he was. Not the celebrity. I'm talking about the man, Prince.
The real Prince. Now,
right.
I love what you just said also, that there were items and things that you kind of have. Is there one piece that you have that you can just tell us about, you know, just one piece?
Well,
that
I
you
have
still
one
have
of the gold iconic. Yes, the gold iconic outfit that he wore on stage. Whatever Prince had, he had many copies
many
of, because we would leave stuff behind in arenas. We would leave, so we always had to have many of the different outfits. But I have one up right now to this day that I know that I'll probably wind up keeping, is one of the gold outfits that traveled all over the world with him. And so when I go on my book tour, you know, coming up, that will be displayed every time I show up. So when you see Kim Berry, you'll see the gold iconic outfit that Prince wore on stage night after night.
Now, I wish
traveled,
I could fit into it, because
yeah,
I would certainly try.
And he was a tiny
but I'd
man.
Pop it open all over the place, yeah.
Right. He was a tiny man, and people don't realize until they see his shoes or they see his clothes of how tiny he really was. He was a very small in stature man, but he was bigger than life, you know.
He towered
people
in real life.
Yeah, I said the Prince that sat in my hair salon chair was not the Prince that you saw on stage, and the Prince that you saw, you know, you know, he was humble, he was kind, he was quiet, but then he was loud and he was rambunctious. And, you know, so he had so many different facets to him. That's why the diamond fits him perfectly. You know, when I characterize him, that he was, it was so much to him, but he was this beautiful star that God created. He used to tell me all the time that he was downloaded by God to bring music to the world, and that he knew that this gift was given to him. And I tell people that when he died, that when he got to the gates of heaven, that he'll be able to say, God, I left everything you gave me on the stage, you know, because he gave it to them night after night. And it was so beautiful to be able to see live music and see him perform. And like, he would go out for the, like, his encores. He would do 5 and 6 encores after a 2 and 3 hour show and give 10 people, whoever stayed behind, that them 10 people, he would give them a show like it was an arena filled with 70,000 people. Like, he was so dope like that. But it was the music, and whatever energy you gave him, he was going to give that energy back. And it was so amazing to be a part of that and see him rock so many. You know, I would stand on outside of the stage and just see him wave his hand and be like, put your hands up, you know. And one man could rock so many. It was just amazing night after night to be a part of that journey and meet so many different celebrities, Sheila E. and Patti LaBelle and Candy Dolfer and, you know, Chance Howard. And I mean, man, it was just so amazing. Mike Phillips, to see all these stars, he picked them out, handpicked each one of these celebrities, and they became Maceo Parker, Najee, just amazing. And I was able to hang around all these celebrities and be a part of their lives night after night. And it was just amazing, like I said, that God chose me to be around all of these people. And it was just amazing that the family, you know, lifestyle that we built with these people year after year, different celebrities and different people that he built and created, and, you know, Carmen Electra, you know, that I was able to, you know, actually come in contact with and be a part of. All people like, did you do the Women in His Lives hair? Absolutely. Anybody that was hanging around Prince, Kim touched them. You know, Andy Allo, you know, that all these people are now celebrities in their own right.
That's right.
It was just amazing to be a part of their lives. And you know, now I can tell the story. Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I was part of that, you know. And it was just amazing night after night, like I said, just to be a part of that.
Well, let me just say this, Kim. We are looking forward to all of the installments of this book, Diamonds
yes.
and Curls, and that's Curls with a Z.
Yes.
Your story. It's by Kim Berry. So you definitely want to check it out. Now, what are some of the best ways they can find this book? And, of course, we're gonna kind of get it right here through the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Absolutely.
But tell us some of the other ways they can get the book today.
Thank you. Yes, you can go to my website. It's www.diamonds, D-I-A-M-O-N-D-S, and the letter N, C-U-R-L-Z. So Diamonds in Curls is the website. So you can go to my website, it'll take you straight to Amazon. You can get the book there. And if you hit me on there and send me an email, I can set it up where we can do a special signing. I can, you know, personally autograph the book for them. And then also, like I said, coming up, I'll be doing a book tour, so you can stay tuned on the sign up on the website, and I'll be coming to a city near you, so you guys look forward to that.
Well, we're
going
to bring you out to my expo. We have a huge
Absolutely.
Expo in May. It's the world's first 8-day expo, period. And it's
awesome.
My very own, called HairNationExpo.biz. And we want you to come out here. So we're going to contact your folks and get
Absolutely.
You scheduled to come out here and do a huge, huge book signing and meet all the fans that you're making today right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Absolutely. I would love that.
The
and then also,
Kim
I'm on
Berry.
Instagram. Kim Berry on set, K-I-M Berry, B-E-R-R-Y on set, Kim Berry on set. So you can find that across all my platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Kim Berry on set, or hit up Diamonds and Curls. If you Google me, you'll find Kim Berry. So just look for me. And I, like I said, I'm excited to, you know, continue sharing my stories with the world. And I'm just looking forward to what God has for me next. The product line is coming out. The hair extension line is coming. So I'm excited, and I cannot wait to, you know, see the fans again. I hate that you know, the world is in this episode, you know, right now. But I'm looking forward to seeing the world, and I'm looking forward to being back with people. I miss people. I love people. So I'm looking forward to being, you know, being seeing people again.
Well, listen, we've got you now on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And so you're going to be indoctrinated as a part of the Hair Radio Morning Show family. So we are excited. We're going to keep everybody informed about all of your comings and goings in the business. So we're just so grateful to have you this morning on our broadcast. Anything you want to leave us with today? Any last thoughts?
I just want to say don't take anything for granted. Live your life to the fullest. Don't be afraid to step out on faith. You know, like I said, I just, you know, happen to be in the right place at the right time. God said that your gifts will make room for you. I perfected my craft doing hair in beauty school, not knowing that one day I would meet, and my first time out the gate, one of the biggest artists in the world, you know, Prince, would be my client for 20-plus years, and it was just amazing. So I just tell people, you know, perfect your craft, do what it is, hang around people that are doing what it is that you want to do. Be the best at what you do, whatever it is, whether it be hair or makeup or, you know, get yourself ready, get your website, create your, you know, digital footprint, get your website ready, get everything prepared to get you ready for the time that you never know when God is going to explode you. If you want to be a celebrity stylist, hang around other celebrity stylists. Make yourself an assistant. Be there. Be present in the moment and be in the where you need to be. Hang around and rub elbows with people of what you want to do. And just be a part. Show up, whatever it is you got to do in life. Show up, be a part of it. Love God. Keep your prayer life active. And, you know, like I said, people can reach me at the website, www.diamondsandcurls.com, Kim Berry on set, on all the platforms. And I'm just loving life, and I'm just glad to be a part of what God is, you know, going to do through me, for me, around me. And I'm just appreciative of you having me on the show. I thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to big things.
Absolutely. And remember, today's guest, Kim Berry, you guys can also, in addition to those amazing places, our platform, which is the Salon TV Network, we have a wonderful app, which is available in Google Play Store exclusively. And they can go right on and on the app, download it, it's free, and literally connect with our guests. And so it's all right there. So we're so excited. And that'll also put you in touch with the amazing Kim Berry. But in the meanwhile, we want you folks to get this book called Diamonds and Curls, and that's with a Z. Again, it's about her amazing Kim Berry story, I call it, in her life with Prince, the amazing superstar. We're going to have you back soon to break it all down. We're going to do a whole series on this amazing book. This was just a little introduction today on our broadcast. I just want to say thank you. You are just a joy. And so while it might seem that you were just doing so many amazing things and, you know, helping out a superstar client, it seems to me to have been kind of the other way around. I see how folks can gravitate towards you. You have something very special that you shared with us today. And that's very, very clear. So thank you, Kim. Thank you for being with us, okay?
Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. All right, folks, we've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. So stay with us.
Introducing our brand new 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network. Listen at hairradio.com. It's hair and beauty talk all around the clock. Great guests, great topics, and much more.
Hi, I'm Kerry Hines. I want to shout out to superstar hairstylist, industry legend, and my friend, Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Inc. He's a hair biz educator, entrepreneur, and yes, he's known for coloring, cutting, and complete hair care services for the whole family. And now, you can hear him right here on Wednesday mornings, live at 8:30 Eastern, all the way from Southern California. Now, he's sharing a few trade secrets and so much more, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest joining us today. She's from the world of business. It is my honor to welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show for the very, very first time, Tara Gregory. Good morning, Tara. Good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome.
Good morning, Carrie. How are you doing, sir? I am so honored and so privileged to finally be on this show. Talk about getting me on here for
a long time, yes.
My schedule has been crazy, but I am just so honored to finally be here talking to you and your radio listeners.
Oh, aren't you kind? Well, listen, I am excited. First of all, it is I who must thank you. You are one of the folks who, when we announced our live events and that we were working on so many different shows, you were one of the very first to sign up as a vendor. So we're so excited that you wanted to do business with our company. We love it. We support you, and we love that you support us at Hair Radio. You've always been, and even when I'm on social media from time to time, which I think I must live on social media as far as our fans are concerned. But yes, but I love it because you, Tara, you share our postings, you share our messages, you like what we put out, and it means so much. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I am one of those that is really big on supporting one another, especially within our culture. I don't know what it is that we struggle to do that. So many of the cultures will band together, and they will push and support one another. And we have to change that stigma. We have to band together and be able to support, promote, push. Everything is not about a dollar. A lot of times it's just a phone call. It's just a post or doing what I'm doing now. Just support somebody else's business. Support their vision. We have to do better as a people. And if I have to be the one to step out there and do that and be the example, by all means, I'll do it.
Well, you have done just that. So, and that puts you on our radar here at the Hair Radio Morning Show and at Hair Radio, the company. So I'm so excited. Now, I've got to say, Tara Gregory, just to have you on the show, I want to talk about your business for a moment. Then I'm going to get into why we brought you here this morning. But first, let's find out a little bit. Now, give us I remember you were doing Iris Batch of Nature, so tell us a little bit. And did I pronounce it right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about it, all that you're doing.
Okay, so just in a nutshell, the name of the company is Ayers, A-Y-U-R, apostrophe
Ayers,
S.
Okay. Yes.
Yep, Ayers Batch of Nature, LLC. I started this company about 7 years ago, and just to give you just a really quick background, I am in my 50s. I just turned 51, and as I got older.
Congratulations. Happy birthday.
Thank you. As I got older, I just realized that my hair started changing. I was natural, and, you know, I was using the products on the shelves, and not to take anything away from them. You know, my hair was moisturized and shiny and looked cute, but for some reason, it just kept shedding. It kept thinning. I was losing my crown. I could not understand what was going on, and nothing on the shelves helped me as far as that issue. So I started researching, and God blessed me to come up with this concoction after I researched for an entire year. Point number one, whatever you're doing in business, research, research, research.
Yes.
Hone in and master whatever it is you're out there producing or doing. So it took me about a year. I came up with this formula, and it changed my life. So I have a product line that is geared towards problematic hair issues. So it's not just about moisturizing and making your hair shiny. If you really have some serious hair issues going on, I have these products that are solving the breakage, the shedding, but especially alopecia. And I've realized, Carrie, what was happening to me really was aging hair, and there's nothing on the market unless you go and get that Keranique and all that kind of stuff. And what I have is chemical-free, drug-free. It's all natural. It's all organic. No steroids, and it works better than those chemicals you see on TV, if not better. And the products started working so well that Macy's reached out to me. Now, listen, I didn't have money for Macy's. I knew that. But somehow they got wind of the products. Make a long story short, they asked for some samples, and I sent it to them, and they did their little testing, talked to the board or whatever.
Yeah, right.
3 months later, they called me and were like, how fast can you get here? And we launched in Macy's. I'm in retail stores.
Yay! Stores.
Yes, and I'm now partnering with the Cancer Treatment Centers of America to help those that are on chemotherapy bring back their hair naturally with no chemical, because they're already dealing with the radiation. So you don't want to put a chemical product on top of what you're already dealing with. So these products is really making a difference for those that suffering with chemical damage. My hair is now past my bra strap at 50 years old because I see my own products. So that is really the backdrop of the products. Also, there's a lot of black hair care products out there. And, of course, Mons has the oils and butters. But I took it a step further when I started researching and infusing Indian Ayurvedic herbs into the product.
Wow,
that
really? How? Tell us about that. That's interesting. So Indian herbs, tell us.
Yeah, so Indian herbs are your henna, amla, hibiscus, marshmallow root, burdock root. These are herbs that Indians have been using for years, I mean centuries, and we just didn't know about it. And hair is hair, so if it worked for their hair, it'll work for our hair. And these herbs are proven.
And I've never seen a person of that, the original folks here in America. Yeah. Have no hair. I've never seen one with your hair.
Jet black, down today behind and no gray.
Exactly.
These herbs are slowing down gray.
Wow.
And making your hair grow like weeds and make it strong as steel. If you ever see Indian men and women, their hair is long.
Of course, everyone.
At 70 and 80.
And up.
They have been using these herbs for centuries.
Now, Tara, how can folks get these products, please?
Okay, so they can visit Ayers Bachelor.
I'm raising my hand, by the way. Tell us one more time. Give us that site once again. I interrupted you there.
Ayers Bachelor of Nature, AYURSBATCHOFNATURE, bachelorofnature.com. You can also find me on Etsy, which is an e-commerce platform for handmade businesses. It's the number one platform out there, so I'm on Etsy. I'm on Amazon as well. You can find us in select retail stores, and all you have to do is really Google the company.
And I'm hoping you'll bring a few of these products to my store at HAIRadio.com soon. We're going to hold you to that now.
I'd love to.
Okay. Yes, this is going to be absolutely awesome. And I've been telling, Tara, this is the kind of thing where we've got, like you said, we've got to support each other. So I'll be following up with you very, very soon on that.
Yes.
Now,
everything myself. Yes.
You make it. Wow.
I had a warehouse about 30 days ago. I started this company in my house. We outgrew the house. We had pallets coming to the house. And my husband was like, I think you need a warehouse. So we launched into a warehouse because I am determined to manufacture these myself. I had manufacturers reach out to me, and they tell you,
I am reaching out to you. Yes.
And
because
I want them to dilute the formula, so I will continue to manufacture these myself. So I have my own manufacturing and distribution right here in Maryland.
Well, you know what? We're going to be talking with you about that because I have some companies, including ourselves, and we're looking for that kind of distribution outlet where we don't have to house it here and, and necessarily make up batches in our bathtub type thing. So we want to definitely, we'll continue this conversation. Now, one of the big things that, let me just remind everybody before we move along, if you guys are just tuning in, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest with us today, and she's on the line. It is my honor again to welcome her to the airwaves for the very, very first time. Tara Gregory. Yes, good morning, Tara. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning, everybody.
All right.
Good morning.
Yes, and again, Ayers Batch of Nature. I'm just loving all of this wonderful information today. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to definitely invite you this morning onto the broadcast is because you, the only person that I, well, you know what? Okay, yes, we've had on Alelia Bundle, so she is the great-great-granddaughter of Madam C.J. Walker. So, of course, and she's a good friend of ours here at the Hair Radio Show. So, yes, she's been with us. But outside of her, so you're like one of the very first who we get a good accounting of at least some of the grounds around the amazing estate that was once the estate called the Villa Luaro, which belonged to Madam C.J. Walker here in New York, which is, I'm located in New York State as well. I'm in New York City and New York. And so her, tell us a little bit, if you will. And, well, you know, we can, you can, we can give you some background. This is the Villa Luaro, formerly known as the Annie Epoff or Annie Poff home, is a 34-room, 20,000-square-foot mansion located at Fargo Lane and North Broadway in Irvington, New York. That's about 30 miles north of New York City, so about a half hour away from where I'm located here in Brooklyn. Now, it was built from 1916 to 1918, and she died like in 1919. That was a year after it was they finished it somewhere, and was designed in the Italianate style by architect Wertner Tandy for Alelia Walker. Again, she is, Alelia Walker is the daughter of Madam C.J. Walker. And so, and the Alelia, our friend Alelia Bundles, who was named after Alelia Walker, Madam Walker's daughter. But so now tell us, Ms. Tara Gregory, what did you see? I want to hear the whole story about walking up to Madam C.J. Walker. Well, first of all, before you get there, what inspired you to go visit, to, were you making a special trip to see Villa Luaro? Oh, and if so, what inspired you to do so?
So let me just take 30 seconds, literally 30 seconds to say this. I had no idea who she was in my teens. I remember, you know, Black history, you know, you read about all these people.
A little bit,
oh,
right.
So I heard of her. And even when I launched my company, I still didn't really know about her. And I didn't realize that I was actually walking into her footsteps until probably about maybe 5 years ago. I had no idea.
Wow.
She built her own manufacturing company, became a self-made millionaire. You got to watch the movie Self-Made. And she built this mansion herself with the first Black architect in New York. A lot of people may not
know. Right.
That's
right.
He designed it. And this house is phenomenal. Oh, my gosh. So I was in New York about maybe 2 weeks ago. I was on a yacht party with this guy called Mitt. Find him on Facebook, Instagram. He does this every month. An amazing yacht party. It's actually a business expo that he does. And so I decided to go there. I had about maybe three people with me, our team. And I don't know, I was on this boat, and I just kept thinking about, you know, this mansion, thinking about her and just how blessed I am to actually be doing what I'm doing. I just couldn't believe it. And I'm sitting there on this boat, and I said, you know what, I think I'm going to visit her house. You know, I've seen the movie. I've read about her. You know, I now know about her. I think I want to see this in real life. So we get off the boat and we get to the hotel, and I tell the team, you know what, we're going to Madam C.J. Walker's mansion. And they're like, we're what? I said, yes, we are. Get dressed. We're going. And we got up about maybe 8 o'clock in the morning. Are we having breakfast? No, we're going straight there. And I'm thinking, because I don't really know New York like that, but I love New York. It is truly my second home. I'm there a lot. There's no place in the city like New York. Let me just plug that out.
True.
So I Googled it, and I realized we were in Upper Manhattan somewhere. on 23rd Street and something. And I Googled it, and it was literally 30 minutes away. I'm thinking it's like 2 hours, 30 minutes away. So we jump in the car and go all through this expressway or whatever. And then the whole community changed. It's nothing but rows and rows of mansions. I could not believe it. So we're driving up, and we come across this house. And I see the sign, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, but it's right there on the street. This can't be it. And so I saw they have a post there, like a little plaque thing in the wall, in the ground. And it says, you know, welcome to Madison C.J. Walker's estate. And they give, you know, her little backdrop. And I looked at them. I said, this is it. Park the car. So we parked the car, and it's gated. You can't just walk in. I mean, they have chains and everything on there. And I'm like, okay, we didn't make no appointment. This is spare the moment. So we get out the car. And the whole thing is gated. She has a driveway that's gated and a gate around her whole house. So we're standing in the middle of traffic trying not to get hit, trying to take pictures and, you know, do drive-by shots. And there was a groundsman there. Oh, my God. He was incredible. And he came out. I guess he saw me out there like, what is she doing? So he came out there. And he said, who are you? And I told him, you know, who I was. And my husband blessed her. So, oh, you know, she has her own hair care company, and she just wanted to come up here and just, you know, see the person that did it. You know, she's just fascinated with her. And he was like, really? How would you like to come in? And my jaw dropped. And I said, really? You would do that? He was like, absolutely. I said, okay. So,
he's like, okay, we're in.
I'm like, get the camera ready because we don't want to. He's unlocking the gate, and when he opened those gates, oh, my, there was a sense of, you know how you walk
history.
And even though you're walking into her history, it's like a preview for you. And as soon as I walk through the gate, I'm like, oh, my God, is this what I'm walking into for me? You can't help but think that. So I'm walking into this gate. It is phenomenal. And when I say, so the doors are locked. You know, first of all, I'm going up the steps. And as I'm stepping up the steps, Carrie, tears are streaming down my face. Not so much because I'm doing what she's doing, but you are standing on the ground
of
the person who fought and struggled and went through all she went through, all the ups and downs and hurdles that she went through that we now don't have to face as a beauty brand company.
Exactly.
It just overwhelmed me to know that all her sweat, blood, and tears got her to this moment, and here's the proof. It's one, Carrie, it's one thing to read it in the textbook, but it's another thing when you step and stand flat-footed in history.
Wow.
There was no feeling like it to see what this woman had accomplished. And what really stood out
And at that period, at that period in time, it's not like she had social media. Her Facebook and Twitter was her 2 feet.
Uh-huh.
You know.
And she is actually the role model and the example of ambition because she talks
Absolutely.
About how, you know, you have to work hard and believe in your dream. And when you read
absolutely.
Her story and read her book, you see the struggles that she
yes.
went through. And standing there at that mansion, it just showed me how far we can go as black people, as a black brand. And I just hope that my company makes her proud. You feel her presence. When you stand there, you feel like you can conquer anything because look at what she did. So we took pictures on the steps, and there's this white, I can't even explain it, like some kind of white clay pot thingy. She bought this years ago, and it is still there. So you can't go in the house, but there's no drapes, Carrie. So we took pictures, you know, we're peeping through the room. And do you know a lot of her original artifacts and furniture is still in this
house? Still there? Wow.
You can actually take your camera, video, and you can actually click pictures because there's no curtains. We walked around the back because I said, let's go. It was like, through the grass, come on, let's go. So we walked around the back, and if you ever see the pictures or her movie where she did her she actually lived in this house for a year before she died. She built it, and she lived in there for a whole year.
That's
and
right.
She and when she got sick, and she really didn't say anything, she got sick, she decided to hold this convention for all these women that were really distributors of her products. And she
right.
has them all lined up in her back, all on the vestibule, all on the grounds, all around the pool. So I walked around, and to stand there, and it's like you just history just stopped. Everything is still the same. And all you have to do is just imagine those women standing there because everything remains the same.
Wow. Well, I am blown away.
And they have kept this property and preserved it like no other. Oh, my God. It's beautiful. And so Sundial has bought this company. Sundial is a company.
Right, Sundial Brand. Yeah.
Moisture. And they bought this company, and I've been following them. So anybody that's interested, follow them because they actually bought this company, and they're going to turn it into a business hub for women to help women entrepreneurs.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I discovered, and I love that because, you know, anything associated with Madam C.J. Walker is all about women empowerment, and
in her will that her property was to be used for African Americans as far as anyone living there, used it for businesses. It was to benefit the community of black entrepreneurs. It is in her will. That's why no other culture could ever get it. It's in her will that her
family
was going to die, and she knew that once she died, she wanted this place to now benefit people for years and centuries to come. And her dream is coming to fruition. Look at what is happening with Sundial. Yeah,
exactly. And
nobody else can get their hands on it.
Exactly. And I have to tell you, I know for a fact that had it not been for the Madam C.J. Walkers, the Annie Malones, Sarah Spencer Washingtons, even for us guys, and there are a lot of guys out there in the hair and beauty business, let me just say that and giving them rightful respect. But without these women, I wouldn't be here today walking in the paths that they have ushered in.
Yeah, and we're obligated. How can we see what they struggled and built.
Exactly, exactly.
And not take on the mandate to carry that mantle. That's why they did it. So that
exactly.
We can now be successful. We can't be lackadaisical. We have to step up and give it everything we got. We can't let go and finagle and just be lazy. We can't do that.
Exactly, exactly. The secret, exactly.
It
has always been for us to band together. I mean, it's really not rocket science. It's just working together and supporting each other, as you said at the top of this. I just shared your amazing video onto my Facebook page. You can go to Carrie Hines' Facebook page, and I will continue to support and put you out there.
Yes.
Tara Gregory, my friend, and we just want to make sure and have everybody know that you'll be at our very next live hair event coming up soon. We'll keep you guys informed. You can go to hairnationexpo.biz to find out about that. And again, we want to send folks to your website, Ms. Tara Gregory. Tell everybody again how they can find Ayers Batch of Nature products and so much more that you're connected with.
It's ayersbatchofnature.com. You can find us on Etsy. You can find us on Amazon. And even though I have a warehouse, I actually have a retail store in the warehouse. So if you ever decide to visit us in Maryland, that address is 2105 Emerton Park Road, Suite 101, Edgewood, Maryland, 21040. And give me a call. My phone number is 443.
Oh, that's the record there. Okay.
0998.
Awesome. Listen, I am super hyped. So this is going to be fantastic, Tara. So listen, we're going to continue to follow you here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're going to hope you come back real soon. And we'll do another sit down.
Anytime.
All right. I am loving it. And I hope you guys had a first row seat all about Madam C.J. Walker's wonderful, wonderful mansion, Villa Nuoro. So, I'm going. Folks, keep it right here. Thanks again for being with us, Tara. Folks,
keep it here.
You got it back at you. We've got a lot more to get to this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Keep it right here.
Now you can listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network and shop all in the same place. Go to hairradio.com. We've got around-the-clock hair and beauty radio talk, And while you're there, buy your favorite books, hair products, tickets to live hair and beauty events, and much more. And if you'd like to feature your products in our hairradio.com website store or be a guest on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, contact us at hairradio.com and reach the world.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Listen every Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern to Vet Talk with Michael Hopkins, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, live. We're all about hair, beauty, and community. Catch the replays on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern at our 24/7 hairradio.com network.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live here listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show of Gary Hines. It is Tuesday morning. It's August 31st of 2021. August 31st of 2021. It's my honor and pleasure to have you guys with us. It's our broadcast show number 602. Show number 602, as we really begin our official march to program number 700. And really, we got to get through show 650, so we'll probably have a celebration at that point. Hey, listen, we've got a big show for you guys today. Coming up at 8:30 Eastern, live across our platforms, it's Vet Talk Radio with Michael Hopkins. You guys know Michael. He's with us each Tuesday morning, live on the air. And today is a very, very special episode. It's their broadcast number 6. Right here at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. Keep it right here at Hair Radio. You'll be able to hear Michael and Michael's Angels panel, along with a very special guest. He'll tell you all about that a little later on. So we're real happy to, just to make that announcement. Now, I also want to say there's a lot going on right now in the news. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I believe he's going to talk a little bit about that, what's happening overseas in Afghanistan and all of that, as well as what's happening right here in our neck of the woods. And as you guys know, here in New York, we just took on a brand new governor. So Kathy Hochul is her name. We'll talk about her a little later on as well. And just much more to get to. Folks have been asking about my very next live hair show, so we'll talk about that coming up. And want to welcome BOBSA, BOBSA.org. That's BOBSA.org. It stands for Black Beauty, the Black-Owned Beauty Association. So we're real, real happy about that. Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association. I had to literally write it down, BOBSA. Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association.org. So it's BOBSA.org. Shouting out Sam Enon from out in California with his You Go Girl brand. And that's a You Like Uniform. So it's You Go Girl. He has a whole line of products under this brand that you, being a professional hair and beauty person, can carry at your shop. Or if you're interested in just purchasing the products, he's got a website, an entire site set up for folks, which is Black Box Distributor, Distribution Inc. .com. So let me say that again. It's a little long. So it's www.blackboxdistributioninc.com. Again, blackboxdistributioninc.com. So check that out. And today it is Tuesday morning, so I'm really happy to. It's our first day back. We've been just off for just a tad while we kind of pull things together for you guys. Real happy about our upcoming guest. Tomorrow,
Smooth Black will be with us live at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, all the way from Southern California, so we're real happy about that. And then Thursday, back for, it's been a while since we've had on the one and only former mayor from Irvington, New Jersey. We're talking about the one and only Wayne Smith, and he'll be with us to make sense of what's happening politically out there with all that's going on in the world. Also, Wayne is a business expert, so we will kind of pick his brain a little bit about some of the best moves an entrepreneur can make to get things kicked off for success. And we've got some surprises coming up on Friday. Hey, we're going to continue this morning with some of the great music and some of the folks that we've been just really kind of enjoying, you know, playing back some of our wonderful, wonderful hits. This fella, I really feel like just, I know we usually do tossbacks on Thursdays to some of our classic songs, but I think this will be just fine. Hey, why don't you guys just stay with us? We've got more to go this morning. The Hair Radio Morning Show. We're live.
Friday night, you and your boys went out to eat. Then they hung out, but you came home around 3, you did. If 6 of y'all went out, then 4 of you were really cheap, yeah. 'Cause only 2 of you had dinner, I found your credit card receipt. It's not right.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now with me, I have a very, very special guest. We're talking about industry superstar and legend, an absolute legend in the hair and beauty industry, the one and only Mr. Bernard Bronner. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's your first time joining us.
And it's such a pleasure to join you.
Thank you. So now hold it. Let's jump on in. And I have to tell everybody, you guys are hearing some of the wonderful background sounds here in New York City because we are actually out and about. Just had a wonderful opportunity to sit in one of our favorite new places here in Manhattan. So, Bernard, though, I want to talk about Bronner Brothers. Let's just kind of bring everybody up to speed. Now, you guys, of course, we're looking ahead to what's next for Bronner Brothers. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. This is year 75 for us, and we do several things as a company. The number one is we make products. We make the BB family of products, which is Tropical Roots, African Royale, and just BB products. Then we do the world's largest multicultural hair show every 6 months. And I also, on the side, do Upscale Magazine, which is one of the few magazines. It's only Upscale and Essence now that are on nationwide newsstands. So Upscale is 31 years old now, and due to COVID, we had to postponing of issues, but we are now back on the newsstands all over the country, and we look for a great year for 2022.
Wonderful. Now, talking about the amazing Upscale Magazine, as you just so clearly pointed out, what's one of the biggest things that you want the message to be about Upscale and reaching out to the community?
Well, I'm second generation Bronner Brothers, and the first generation, my daddy always felt like, he always used to say that a community is no better than the people in it. So he did all kinds of things to help develop the people in the community. And as a second-generation leader, I've taken that even further, and I love helping the community. One of my pet things is creating jobs. I've always felt like that is the worst thing can happen, a person lose their job. I've always said that once you lose your job, you next will lose your house. Then they'll come take the car. Then the family will leave you, the kids will leave you, and if you can't even afford to feed the dog walks away. So
wow.
you don't wanna have to be in a situation where you have no financial income coming in. So I have always loved providing jobs and helping people become entrepreneurs and finding that they can it's just a joy in helping people. So that's one of the missions that I have now is, like I say, I want to be known as a person who understands what our community needs and gives it to them. And like I say, my number one thing is providing jobs.
That means so much right now. I mean, you know, we're coming out of this period, let me just put it that way. We're forging ahead with amazing new opportunities. I see so much on the horizon for Bronner Brothers, for Bernard Bronner, and all that you're doing. And I'm just very excited. And I'm going to announce this. I'm going to just go ahead and put this out. We are launching Upscale Magazine Radio. And you heard it right here, folks. What can you tell us, Bernard? What do you think this is going to be about?
I think it's wonderful. So we're going to be working together and launching for 2022 Upscale Radio. And it will have a lot of hair radio interviews and a lot of hair radio, hair celebrities.
Exactly.
And it's going to be just awesome for 2022.
Awesome. Can't be any better than that. Now, I just want to say this, Bernard, and I appreciate you taking time. We never have a whole bunch of his time because you're a very, very busy man, and I so appreciate this in-person meeting, which we do so rarely here on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
But what can you leave us with today? What words, like, you inspired me as you, you know, I said this off air, I said it on air. Bronner Brothers certainly has led the way. None of us really would be here. You know, you guys are a big part of the whole entire black hair industry. But what kind of advice or inspirational words you can leave us with today on the Hair Radio Morning Show?
Well, the biggest thing is we have all survived 2020, which means we are now tough and we can survive any and everything. So now that we've got all of the experience and have lived through a pandemic, we're tough. And I know Bronner Brothers and Bernard Bronner, we are going to show out for 2022 because we ready now.
All right. Yes. On that note, I want to thank you so much for being with us, and we look forward to all that you guys are going to be bringing to the table, as always. The one and only Bernard Bronner from Bronner Brothers. Who in the world doesn't know Bronner Brothers? Thanks so much, Bernard, for being with us.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, keep it right here. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us. It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
This is Dr. Linda Amerson from Texas, the owner of LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic. I am giving a shout-out to Carrie.
She's from College of New Orleans, Louisiana. I just want to give a shout-out to the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines and his new team this morning.
Yay! All right. So in the morning, what do you do each day?
I listen to the Hair Radio Show, baby.
All right, we're back live. You are on 602. Well, actually, it's show number 602. It's Tuesday, August 31st, 2021. Got to get it together here this morning. Want to thank you so much for being with us live on the air. I was just thinking as that was playing, Queen Tree's doing a shout-out from Louisiana. As you guys know, they are still reeling from Hurricane Ida over this weekend, this past weekend. So certainly our well wishes and thoughts are with the folks down there in Louisiana. They're still doing search and rescue at this point, and we'll be carrying a whole lot more of that as we kind of move along on these days and
again, we wish the folks in that area down in Louisiana well. Here in New York City, we're going to have some rain and all of that as the remnants of Hurricane Ida moves up north. So we'll be braced for all of that. Hey, turning back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Again, it's our show number 602. It's Tuesday, August 31st of 2021. We're live this morning. Hey, I'm just going to bring right to the line because today, coming up at about 8:30 Eastern time, we have one of the show's angels with us. Real happy to announce. Her name is Katrina. You guys know her. This is probably, Katrina, I think this is your first time popping in during our live broadcast to tell us a little bit about Vet Talk Radio. It's coming up today at 8:30, right?
Sorry, it is. Good morning, everyone. How you doing?
Good morning. We're doing just great. Now, I have to remind everybody, that's 8:30 Eastern time, 7:30 in the morning Central time zone, because you yourself, you're out in the Central time zone out in Texas. How are you guys doing out in Texas with all the crazy weather that's happening?
Well, right now we haven't gotten any of the rain or anything yet, but my family down in Louisiana, they're all safe as of right now. They hadn't gotten none of the bad weather.
Well, they are. They've been very lucky. Again, it's struck and hit different parts of Louisiana in different ways. You know how it's always hit and miss with these types of things. The folks in New Orleans, you know, they. I saw a lot of wind and some damage, but you know, looking outside of New Orleans and some of the other places in Louisiana were hit pretty hard. And so we're just, you know, we're going to let them do what they have to do and kind of bring us the latest, and we will share all of that with our listeners. Hey, turning to Vet Talk Radio, you guys come up at about 8:30 Eastern, as we just mentioned. But, Katrina, let me just ask you, you know, being one of the producers, one of Michael's angels, what does that mean to you, and what is exactly – why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what exactly, who are the angels, and what is all that about on Vet Talk Radio? You're giving us a little inside scoop this morning.
Yes, the angels is there to help back up Michael. If anyone have any questions, or we can ask the questions, and he can discuss and explain to the listeners and everyone that needs help trying to get a claim with Vet to get their ratings up in order to help them get their claims and their benefits with everything that they need as being a veteran.
Exactly. That's right. Awesome job. Let me just make that very clear. What Katrina's saying is that Michael, and you guys have heard this, he does a whole bunch of how to file claims and to stay on top of all of this information as far as the veterans are concerned. So I'm sure he'll get into a little bit more of that a little later on today, and we're real happy about that. Now, listen, I think we have another – we are really getting – okay, let me just kind of chime on in. Hey, you're with us live on the air. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
Well, hello, Nora. How are you today? You're on with Katrina and the rest of the world here on the Air Radio Morning Show. What's going on today? We've got two of Michael Angels, you guys, from Vet Talk Radio Show. They're joining us right here on the air. And this is a little impromptu, so good morning. And I was just asking Katrina a little bit about the Vet Talk Radio Show. What would you like to add, Nur Jahan?
Yes, I would like to add that, you know, as being an angel on Michael Angel's show, being a production crew manager, what we do, you know, when we come together and we discuss what topics that we're going to be sharing on the Vet Talk Radio show. So we're
awesome.
Putting together things like certain guests that we want to have on the show, or what we're going to do as a panel together, or we're just going to let Michael do all the talking and we take notes and then, you know, we're learning so much. So.
Yes, well, listen, yeah. It's my joy to have you guys And we're shouting out the third angel. We call her, of course, on the show, Nicole. She'll be with us a little later on this morning. Listen, I am so happy. Of course, we're talking about Michael Hopkins, a Vet Talk radio show. Everybody will have the whole cast in just about a little less than a half hour. So we're going to have you guys to keep it right here. Listen, Katrina, Noor, thank you both for getting up early to shout us out and to just remind everybody about Vet Talk Radio. We're live this Tuesday morning. It's August 31st of 2021. We want you guys to keep it right here for a whole lot more of the Hey Radio Morning Show and certainly for Vet Talk Radio. All right, we'll be back. We'll check in with you in just a little bit. Katrina, Noor, all right. Okay, what can I – what? Thank you, guys. What can I say here on the Hey Radio Morning Show? Hey, you know what I would like to get on? You know, we just celebrated our 600th broadcast recently of the live Hair Radio Morning Show, and I just wanted to say, just reminds me, Vet Talk is on show number 6, and we're literally on show number 602 today. But one of the interviews that I did, and it's a little rough, I'm gonna play it for you guys, so you gotta have to listen very carefully. This is when we were on with the White House. Yes, Hair Radio was on with Michelle Obama, hairstylist, when she was in office. Now, his name is Johnny Wright. Many of you guys got to actually know Johnny because he had his own TV show on VH1. So before that, I had a chance to chat with Johnny right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show when he was doing the hair of none other than Michelle Obama at the White House. And so every so often I like to get on some of the classic interviews. So listen, you can, you know, there's a little static in it at the beginning, but please bear with it because I think Johnny talks, he has some good information for you. So take a listen, and I'm just going to go ahead and get it on. And then we're going to, right after this, and certainly get on Vet Talk Radio. Stay with us, folks.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We have a very, very special guest with us today. His name is Johnny Wright. We'll let him tell you the rest. Johnny, officially welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure.
It's a pleasure.
Yes. Well, we have to first, let's just put it out there. Let's let everyone know what you do every day. Now, you are the official hairstylist for the First Lady of the United States, Ms. Michelle Obama. So I just want to get that out there. But you have a long career in the hair business. So we're going to start there. Yes, tell us a little bit about all of this, Johnny. Let's start there. What are you doing currently? Well, I guess I just said what you're doing currently, but tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, yeah, so I started doing hair at a very young age. It started when I was around 12 years old. My grandmother was a hairstylist. Her name is Minnie Brown. She was taught under the likes of Madam C.J. Walker, and she did hair since she was 91 years old, and she passed.
Hold it,
91? So I learned 91, still doing pressure curls, no jokes.
Wow.
And she was the baddest in the game as far as I was concerned. Learned a lot from her just about, you know, hanging around at her foot, and, you know, she had clients that had been coming to her since before my mother was even born, so over 70 years, and I used to watch her do her thing with her clients and the relationship that they build, and just learn a lot about professionalism and just customer stylist relationships and things like that. So it definitely was able to mold me into the stylist I am today, and it was just awesome being able to have that a part of my family blood and in my spirit to just want to do something that I felt like was just like not, it was like a hobby to me. It wasn't really working. I did that for, you know, did hair throughout high school, and I finally went to hair school, and I went to Dilley's Beauty College, and that's when, you know, things started to change as far as career-wise for me. I had a very successful career, and I had a lot of clients from the ages of 12 on. I mean, by the time I was 13, I had amassed over 200 clients in my neighborhood, from my school, from my church, and all those type of things. So I was
at that point, obviously, no Sure, no formal training at that point other than what you kind of learned from your grandma.
No, I learned everything by watching, and it was a part of me. It was just I had this innate knowledge of knowing how to style hair and all those different things. I started out when I was in the updo days, doing all the finger waves and mods and all this different stuff that I had to do.
Okay. Wow.
I did it for so long, it's like a flat bike. You know what I mean? It's like, there are a lot of things I've done over 20,000 patrols in my lifetime. But half of the things are changing me. The director of the school, Betty Clawson, she had heard some great things about this young man doing hair in the Chicago area. I grew up on Southwest Chicago. She wanted to get me into school, and I came, and she utilized me because I was already, gifted and talented in the styling area. What I needed most from school was my theory and the understanding of psychology and all those things, and just the basic.
Johnny, I don't know if it's your line or my line, but I think I hear I think we're going in and out a bit, so I'm hoping it picks up well. But, okay, so this has been a life-changing type of career move, so to speak. So what has it been like in terms of just, staying, grounded? How do you stay grounded? That's what, we want to know, those wonderful types of things. How are you able to stay grounded?
Well, there's several things. I have a strong sense of spirituality, and I do have some sense of faith, and with that helps me stay grounded. I don't look down on anyone. I don't feel like I'm better than anyone. I know that my success is my success, but it doesn't mean that, other people can't have success. I don't compare myself to anyone, but I think it's a part of what keeps me grounded, too, because it takes the competition aspect out of it. I have great friends. I surround myself with great people. I was brought up well. My mother and father, brought me up in church and to respect people and also to be my own person. So the grounded aspect of me is really just natural. I don't put on any airs. And I always tell every stylist, don't have ego. With this industry, it's a lot of competitive behavior and a competitive mentality. And I get that. And it has its place, but ego shouldn't be a part of it. It should be all
Absolutely.
Part of fun and just loving what you do.
Absolutely. Well, let me just re-intro. Folks, if you've just joined us, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and today we welcome a very, very special guest. His name is Johnny Wright. Now, Johnny, you've got a lot of experience in this hair business. How have you seen it change over the years? How have you seen it change, or has it changed? Let me ask you that.
Well, it's changed and definitely changed. This is one industry and one craft that continues to change and continues to evolve. And I've seen some very positive changes in the industry. And I do like where it's going, a lot of more edge, a lot of more futuristic things, and you can see a lot of technology becoming to be a play in the beauty world. So I do love those things. And one thing I do see a lot of is more education. People really want to be educated about, the different products and different techniques and advanced cutting and all that kind of stuff. So those things are always and forever evolving and changing, and I have seen that, I've noticed it, and I love that. There's been, with the hair world scene, the hair show world scene, there's been some setbacks, so to speak. You go to some of these hair shows and you see them selling purses and jewelry and all that. And back in the day, it was always so educational. And those things are a little disappointing. I understand why they feel like they need to do that, especially when it comes out to making money and to cover
right.
the venues and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's really important to focus on education, and we're starting to see hair shows like Verona Brothers and IBS and American Beauty Show really, really take that ownership back in the education world, which I'm really excited about.
Great. Now, listen, what about the natural hair movement? What are your thoughts on this big explosion into natural hair?
I am a big fan of it. First of all, it's something that, you know, gives black women versatility and ownership of their texture. And I really am excited about the women feeling like they can wear their hair natural. That is really an exciting change. You even see natural hair being accepted in the corporate world, and that look has started to change now because of this you know, curl power and this curl talk, and everybody talking about it. It's a natural nation out there, and everybody's really starting to understand it more. And the fact that they can have the versatility and to really embrace their curly hair, I think it's great. I'm really excited about it. And we have, you know, I've been working with Sachin Carson for the past 14 years, and we have made it our business to create products like Au Naturel that was focused on Dr. Lovely Au Naturel, that's focused on curly texture as far as the elongation and anti-streakage and things like that. And it's really, you know, taking flight and doing really well.
Now, speaking of Sachin Carson and working with the large product companies, what kind of advice do you pass along to some of these, to the hairstylists out there who are looking to embark upon a career or connect with one of, you know, with the manufacturers and be able to, you know, speaking to the educational end? What advice might
you
be able to share?
It made a big difference for me. I never really wanted to work in a salon, own a salon. Of course, I work in a salon, but I never really wanted to own a salon. I never really had that that urge to work and own a salon. But I have been able to, you know, become more of a expert in my career because of my involvement with working with a company like Sachin Carson, who was owned by L'Oreal. And I've been able to be put in front of different outlets, different media outlets, and talk about, you know, hair texture and hair health and things like that. And I would encourage any hairstylist that, you know, wants to do something different than working behind the chair to contact and to connect with these hair companies, because you can do so much. I got introduced to platform artistry. I got introduced to education. I was able to travel the world. I did trim release tours around the world. So it really developed me totally different than I would have just sitting in a salon every day. So there's so many things you could do in this industry as far as, you know, working with a hair company. There's freelance work and session styling and things like that. Of course, there's celebrity hairstyling and all that. All these things are different niches that you could do that's not typically what people actually think of as hairstylists, as owning a salon or working in a salon. There's so many things you could do, and I've literally taken advantage of that, and I've encouraged other hairstylists to do the same.
Well, that sounds just great. Now, Johnny, what, you know, being a person with such a high-profile position that you currently hold, what can possibly be next? Tell us anything at all that you can share with us today on what could be next for you, what you'd like to do.
Say that one more time. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the,
sure.
The whole
no.
Question.
You know, you have you're in such a high profile position now. What would you like to do? What is there anything else that's like next for you? Anything that you'd like to tackle that you know say you know what? I think I want to try this.
Yeah. Well, you know, before I started working with the First Lady full time, I'm from Chicago, born and raised. And right before the campaign got really, really, like, intense and got started, is I moved to Los Angeles. I have met the First Lady prior to that. I got booked with her through my agent, Ken Barboza, and I met her, but I wasn't necessarily her hairstylist. I moved to Los Angeles, and the reason for me moving to Los Angeles was to develop more of a television presence and to do some correspondence things, to be a beauty expert for different outlets, you know, like Red Carpet and the morning shows and things like that, and also to have my own TV show. And those type of things were happening. I was in development for the show, and all that was looking great. But then I get a call from Michelle Obama to move to D.C., and I decided to shift my career and be with the First Lady of the United States, which I think, of course, is a huge stepping stone for whatever I want to do next. And so to answer your question, I want to have more of a television presence. I want to, you know, do some hosting. I've already dibble-dabbled in a little bit of red carpet correspondence. I do it every year for the BET Awards. I've done it for a couple of other award ceremonies and a couple of other venues that have just hired me to host their red carpet, and I really, really enjoy that. I like to have the voice of a hairstylist on the red carpet because that's, you never really seen that. You've seen possibly stylists and designers or just journalists who have a interest in fashion, but to have somebody there that has the voice of a hairstylist and from that world, I think is really cool.
Absolutely. Well, you know something? I think we're going to send that out. And I can't imagine that this is not going to be something that happens for you right away.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So listen, there are folks out there would never, ever, ever let you go without asking you just a quick style tip on dealing with the winter weather. You know that for those of us who are here in the Northeast, I'm in New York. Any tips at all that you could? I know you've been out in California and all over, but anything you can share with us, with our listeners today, on any tips that they could do to make it through the winter months?
What's really important is that you get to understand your hair and your hair texture. Everyone have different hair textures. There's been talked about five different types of hair, and I honestly feel that there's more than that. And the only way that you can do that is consult with a professional. But one thing that I know is key with all hair textures that goes across the board, whether you're round cell, flat cell, oval cell, whether your hair is wavy, tightly curled, or straight, you need to make sure your hair is properly moisturized to maintain the integrity of your hair. One of the products that I have pushed for quite some time now that I really, really love to endorse and I use it is Amla Legend. Now, Amla oil is derived all the way from India, and it's from a superfood called gooseberry that Indian women have been using, and it's been a ritual of theirs to keep their hair moisturized and strong for years. And we brought it to the market, and it's really taken flight. I've been on Wendy Williams, and I've talked about it several times. What I like about it is it gives you that intense moisturization without weighing the hair down, but it keeps the hair on the head. It keeps the hair growing stronger and longer, and that's what everybody wants. So moisture is key. A lot of times people find that in the winter months, the hair is dry. Their skin is dry. So if you notice that your skin is dry, because hair is just an appendage of the skin, quite possibly your hair is going to be dry as well, too. So just take notice of that. Make sure you keep it moisturized, and there are a lot of great products out there that won't weigh the hair down, and they're good for styling the hair and keeping it moisturized at the same time.
On that note, Johnny, I want to just say thank you and for being taking a moment to spend some time with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Any shout-outs?
No,
anybody
thanks
you
for
want
having
to shout
me.
Out to? Sure. Did you have anyone you want to shout-out
no,
to?
Oh, no. No, I have no shout-outs. All my people know I love them, but
they
I don't
know.
Want to point anybody out in particular.
Well, listen, I want to say you have a great team. They've been really, really terrific. So that's my shout-out
awesome.
Over here, folks, today. Listen, Johnny, thanks again for being with us. We're going to follow you and just, you know, as you, you know, roll things out, please come back and join us again. We'd love that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. Folks, keep it right here.
All right,
there's a whole lot more to come. Thank you, Johnny.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ajak Deng. I am 27 years old, and I've been modeling for 8 years.
Hi, my name is Nya Kim Garowich. I am 25 years old, and I've been modeling for 2 years.
Hi, my name is Leomi Anderson. I'm 24 years old, and I've been modeling for nearly 11 years now.
Hi, my name is Kadia Diaz. I'm 21 years old, and I've been modeling for 2.5 years now.
This one girl asked me one time, she's like, is it true that when black people take a shower, or like the dark black people take a shower, the water don't touch your skin? Like you don't feel the wet of the water in my skin, on your skin? And I was just like, huh? This doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you get in the water, you're going to get wet, despite of your black, yellow, purple.
One of the instances is where I was waiting at a casting for 3 hours. They'd seen my face. I'd been sitting there amongst the other girls. And when I finally got into the casting, they say to me, sorry, we're not looking for any African people. And I'm just like, well, that's 3 hours of my life I can't get back because of you, kind of thing. And I was just literally like to them, you know, if you're going to be racist, let me just tell you one thing. My heritage is Jamaican, but we're all from Africa. And they're just like, ah! I'm just like, really? Like, it's the ignorance is just like so shocking.
I had so many crazy experience with hair and makeup.
Being backstage and not having someone to do my hair right or do my makeup right makes me feel like I'm not represented. Like, no one just really cares about my skin color or my hair type.
Before I even had cut my hair like this, I used to have an afro. You know, you could do a lot with an afro. You know, you could even braid it or straighten it or curl it, but it was like, we don't know what to do with your hair. The texture is too nappy.
I always have to travel with a brush and gel. Because when I'm backstage, sometimes I have to do my hair or do my makeup. Well, it's not that they don't provide someone to do it, but they won't do it the way I like it, or it won't be, you know, what I want.
But I had an experience in Milan where I went through hell, basically. They glued in a whole head of extensions, they ripped them out, they blow-dried my hair, they straightened it, they put hairspray, and then literally he was just about to put, like, a really water-based gel on my hair, and I just turned around and I said, if you put this in my hair, it's going to make my hair go frizzy. And he literally just started going off, like calling me like the B word, telling me, who do I think I am? Who do I think I'm talking to? He can end my career in 2 minutes. And this is when I was 17 years old and it was in a room full of people. I felt so embarrassed and I was literally in tears. And that was when I really realized that, you know, being a black model is a completely different experience.
I was at this campaign and backstage they didn't know how to do my hair. So they felt like, basically they had a white hairstylist and this guy didn't know how to do braids and he just like parted my hair and did whatever he wanted with it and I wasn't happy with it.
Backstage, yes, absolutely, because not everybody has the correct products to use on dark skin, or maybe they do have it, but they don't think of the whole undertone thing, because, you know, I have a red undertone, even though I'm darker than most.
I feel like often black models have to redo their makeup, and I remember all, like, the black models coming to me because I was the only one with my makeup bag, like, Leomi, I need some powder, the stuff that they're putting on me, they're trying to say it's translucent, but it's white, like, help me out here. So, yeah, it's an instance that I've come across numerous amounts of time.
I feel like it's unfair because white models don't have to do it. I've been in a lot of backstage and it's only the black models that do that.
Most of the time, if a makeup artist doesn't know what they're doing with my skin, I just kind of want to be the teacher that they never had. Bring out my own, my little, you know, makeup bag and just say, you know what, as you can see, this is the same, but this has more red in it and this is just gray. So it's going to make my skin gray. But if you want, you can mix that with this and then we'll get the perfect color of mine. And it's like, oh, most of the time they listen. Most of the time they want to fight you on it.
When I would go to a show or a photo shoot, you know, and then I would sit at a makeup artist's chair, you know, and expecting them to, like, put on a foundation, highlight, you know, concealer, you know, all the stuff you do for makeup. And it's like, as they never have any products for me. You know, I was like, we don't know what to do. And it was like, oh, this is my favorite line. You don't need foundation. Your skin is so flawless. Like, no, you don't have the foundation. It's not that my skin is flawless.
In New York, a lot of makeup artists know how to do black skin, so we never really have that problem in New York. In London, they kind of are very well advanced out there, and they know how to do it. It's when you get to Milan and Paris, or like Spain, that they just like, oh my god, I finally got a dark skin girl, so here's my darkest makeup brand I've never used. You're like, that's not right.
Why is it that if a white model says, ah, you're hurting me, it's like, oh, sorry, babe, but me, it's like, oh, your grandma must have, I'm just like, no. My grandma has a nice soft touch, lies, because everyone knows that your grandma hurts your head, but she gets the job done, unlike them, so it's fine, you know?
This guy goes, do you taste like chocolate if I lick you? I was like, what? He's like, you look like you taste like dark chocolate. So I just want to see, can I lick your hand? I was like, no, you're not going to do that. And he's like, why not? I just want to taste it. I was like, lick your hand and you tell me what that tastes like. And he did. And he's like, it tastes like skin. I'm like, that's what mine tastes like. Have a good day.
The thing that really drives me is the fact as well that I don't know what the future holds. Every single day, every single season, we're seeing so much progression for young black women within all industries. So I'm like, if I give up now, who knows where I could be? I could be like the Oprah Winfrey of the fashion industry.
Brands are just trying to make black girls this trend, and it's not a trend. It's diversity, it's representation, it's everything. And it's sad. It's very sad.
I want to leave a good mark in the industry. I want to do something that's going to change a lot of people's lives, and that's going to help the world, humanity. So the future is bright. The future is promising for us, and I think we all just have to stick together and work together, because it's the only way we can make it further.
Up now, live, it's Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins. Executive producer Carrie Hines and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole, Noor, and Katrina. The Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is all about helping veterans in need. Stay tuned.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show, and if it is Tuesday morning, it is time for Vet Talk Radio, as you just heard on the introduction. I want to bring to the line on this Tuesday morning, August 31st of 2021, my very special host for the program, Mr. Michael Hopkins. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Michael Hopkins. Welcome.
Good morning, Carrie. Good morning.
Yes.
Once again, it is
good
a beautiful
morning.
Day down here. It is a beautiful day down here in Spotsylvania, Virginia, right outside
yes,
of Fredericksburg.
Awesome.
It's a beautiful day.
Absolutely.
We are ready to rock
absolutely.
And roll on this show today.
Well, listen, Michael, I know you have a lot to get into this morning, and you have an amazing panel. I also want to just let folks know these are folks who are producers on your program as well. A lot of you guys who have, you know, if you've kept it here and you've been tuned in, you heard from Katrina and Noor this morning, who will be joining us again shortly, as well as, of course, Nicole. And we are just so excited. Now, I also want to say, Michael, you've got big news today. You have, you're making big news on the broadcast. Today's your very first day having a live guest. It's your episode number 6 of Vet Talk Radio. What are you looking to bring us today?
Oh, Carrie, yes. Yes, I have a very special guest today. And he is a gentleman that he's actually part of one of my vet groups. And actually, Carrie, he's one of my mentors. He's one of the people that I looked up to.
Wow.
And I continue to look up to him. He is
wow.
just a fantastic gentleman. Fantastic
well, I
gentleman.
Cannot wait. Now, that's coming up in just a couple minutes, correct?
Correct. That'll be coming up in a couple of minutes. Yes, it will be.
Awesome.
But
right.
One thing, Carrie.
You go ahead and take it away, Mike.
One thing I want to do, Carrie, I just want to touch on some of the events that have placed over the last few days. As a lot of our fans and family know, we lost, as veterans, we lost 13 of our brothers and sisters. Over in Afghanistan, we lost 13 of our brothers and sisters. Several of them were wounded also, too. But we're veterans, and it doesn't matter what branch we're in. And, yes, we have all our rivalries and all that good stuff. But when it comes down to it, Carrie, they were 13 of my brothers and sisters. And I'm very, very emotional about that right now because they were all young brothers and sisters. You know, very, very
Absolutely.
Young brothers and sisters. And what I would like to do, Carrie, I just want to do a short moment of silence with the vet family here to honor those brave service members for doing, they committed the ultimate sacrifice.
Yes.
And, we're just going to take 30 seconds just to reflect and think about them and all the other MIAs and people that are still in harm's way.
Correct. Okay. Awesome, Michael. All right. And Michael, what's next?
And Carrie, what we're going to do now is I want to bring on a gentleman that is just, he's an extraordinary gentleman. He's had a beautiful military career, 29 years in the United States Marine Corps, where he attained the rank of Sergeant Major, and that is not an easy task for those of us who were in the military. And he has two tours of Vietnam under his belt. He has various instructor certifications. He is one of the leaders in my veterans group, Veterans on Board, here in the Fredericksburg area. And I'd like to introduce the whole family here, Vet Talk, live to Sergeant Major, retired Nathaniel Single Jr. Come on down.
Awesome. All right. Good morning, Sergeant Major.
Good morning to everyone. It's
morning,
a blessing to be here.
It's great to have you.
Good morning to you, Mike.
Morning, Sergeant Major. As I said, he's one of my mentors. When I have some issues, problems, et cetera, I go to Sergeant Major, and he gets me squared away. Sergeant Major?
Yes.
So, like I said, so happy to have you on here. And I'd like for you to just share some of your thoughts about things that have happened over these last few days with the attack and just the overall atmosphere.
And Afghanistan you're talking about.
Yes. I have personal feelings about the whole thing. I have my opinion on it. A lot of people are down in the president, you know, for the way he handled it. But no matter what president is sitting in the office, it's not an easy task to pull troops out of a combat zone when you have that many troops and that many civilians to deal with. You know, could it have been done in a better way? Probably, you know. But one of the things that I would have done, not criticizing the president, but I would have started this process. Nobody would have known about it until I got to know these civilians out, got all of our citizens out, and slowly by slowly start trickling the Afghans out. You know what I mean? And I think it would have been probably less of a problem, but that's me speaking. You know, I'm not on the ground. The best person to have run that program to generals and the people on the ground, you know. So it's a done deal now. The only thing you can do is pray on it that more people weren't hurt, you know what I mean? More people weren't killed. You know, During the times of war, some people will all give some and some give all. You know what I mean? So it's another day in the world, another day in the military, and another day in this world of confusion and hatred and anger and violence and war.
Wow. And I just want to say, let me just jump on in and say, Sergeant Major Singleton, that this is, you know, all of the military, they're out. And this
right.
brings this war to an official end, military-wise, so to speak, as far as we know here. And so, and I totally echo what you say, and thank you so much. And Michael, back over to you.
Right. So, doesn't this sort of parallel your service during the Vietnam War? A lot of things that's going on, does it sort of parallel what you experienced?
So-so, but during Vietnam, we pulled out. It was President Nixon that started us pulling out, and I was with the 9th Marines at Quang Tri, Dong Ha area, and we started pulling out in the middle of August. But as you all know, it wasn't completed until 74. This was August '70 when we started.
And wow, amazing. Now, Sergeant Major Singleton, you retired after 29 years as a Marine Corps vet, correct? So
correct.
You did like a couple of tours over there. So this is probably very difficult for you to see and, you know, to think about to some degree. So thank you so much for sharing all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael, great job as well. Yes. So Michael, you go ahead and take it away.
All right. And Sergeant Major?
Yes.
I'm quite sure that you're just like me. You know, it's 13 people. They're on your hearts and minds and their families. And I know that you have strong feelings and some words of encouragement that I know that you would love to say to the family.
Well, you know, like I said, I shed a tear for each one of those brothers and sisters. You know what I mean? I shed many tears over the years for our fallen service persons. You know, it's never a good time when you're in combat and when there's a war going on. It's never a good time, you know. So to me, to tell them I know how they feel, I can't say that because I hadn't lost any my children to war. But I try to understand what they're going through, and I know how I would feel if I were to lose one of my children, whether it's in war or peace. Just losing a child, somebody that you brought into the world, it's a painful feeling. Knowing that that person is gone forever, you'll never get over it. 20 years down the line, you'll still be thinking about the good times that you had, you know. And, you know, 20 years down the road, you'll be shedding tears. I mean, my wife died 10 years ago, and at times, you know, I sit and cry. My mother died in 88, you know. At times I sit and cry, you know what I mean? When you think about the good times you had, you know. So it's my prayers go out to the families, you know.
Yeah. Now, Michael, I know you wanted to kind of talk a little bit about that this morning, and you probably get into that on the effects of, you know, how this plays out with the families and all of that. So just amazing talk coming up. Michael, remind everybody, now this is Vet Talk Radio that you guys are listening to, and Michael's live guest this morning is Sergeant Major Nathaniel Singleton. Let me just jump on in. Sir, where are you based out of again? Just share that with our listeners.
Well, I reside right here in Stafford, Virginia, about 13 miles up the road from Mike in Fredericksburg.
Oh, okay. So our Virginia folks, all right, shouting out
right.
to all the folks in that area this morning. And, of course, turning it back over to Michael Hopkins. Now, Michael, you've got the panel coming in just a few minutes. What are you guys getting into this morning?
Basically, what we're going to do, Carrie, we're going to continue this conversation, but we're going to look at it from the perspective of veterans coming home. What is it like for a veteran to come home? And on the panel, the angels are going to give their own personal perspective of what it was like to have a relative to come home from the military, the changes they noticed, the things that they really didn't think about, but now that they're involved in vet talk, it's all starting to make sense now. That's what we're going to be doing.
All right. Well, listen, I am excited, and I just have to say, Michael Hopkins and Vet Talk Radio, this is show number 6. So we have to thank Sergeant Major Nathaniel Singleton, first of all, for getting up early and being, well, you're probably used to that after serving for almost 30 years, so this is probably not early for you.
No, I'm up at 4 every morning.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, yeah, my God. I'm up at 4, too, so that's not easy. Wow.
Tell them what you do so early in the morning, Sergeant Major.
Your regiment. I know you have a regiment.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the gym to open at 4:45.
The gym?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And I bet they can't even guess your age right now. And you still blowing and going.
Now, don't put the age on him, Michael.
Oh, no, he's a young man.
Oh, wow.
Tomate is a young man. We've got big things going on with our veterans organization. He's a key member in our veterans organization. He is. He's one of the founders of our veterans organization that we have on every Friday. From 9 to 11, we meet as veterans.
Well, can we hear a little bit about that real quick from
Sergeant Major can fill us in.
Mike, you want to do that?
Sure.
Yeah, well,
I can do
tell
that, Sergeant Major.
When we tell them how we got started?
Oh, go ahead, Sergeant Major. Yeah, that'd be excellent. Excellent, Sergeant Major.
Well, I'm a... cut it kind of short because it's a long story, but I'm going to make it a short story. Well, you know, I was going through my PTSD training with the doctor, Dr. J, down at the VA clinic, and he asked would I like to join another group that he's trying to get started. And we'll meet down at the VFW from 9 to 11 each Friday. I said, no problem. So I did, and it was 3 other people there, and we met Fridays, and then it grew up to about 70 people, you know, and the doctors started sending the people down to us because they say we can help them better. Our program is this. Is that nobody understands us, a veteran, but another veteran. The doctors have the schooling, they have the books, but if they hadn't been there, you know, they can only read about it. We've been there, we know about it, we felt it, we can talk about it. You know, but veterans usually only talk to veterans, people that understand them. And a lot of the wives have a sigh of relief since their husband came to our group. You know, we say that if you think you have a problem, you don't have a problem to listen to the problem of some of the other folks here, okay? There's always somebody worse off than you. And this has been a big thing with our group, and it has helped and motivated a lot of our members. So our thing is, you got a problem. Any problem you have, you throw it out to the group.
Amazing.
And we all talk on it. And before you leave, you will have a solution to your problem. If we got to stay there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you will leave with a solution.
Awesome, Sergeant Major. Awesome. Well, Sergeant Major Nathaniel Singleton Jr., I once again thank you for coming on board, and we appreciate you 100%, Sergeant Major. Simplify, well, Sergeant Major.
Thank you for the invite. Appreciate it.
It was great to speak
with you.
Thank
you, and we'll be having you back again. Yes, we will. And Vet Talk audience, Vet Talk family, I keep forgetting you are my family. Everyone here is a vet buddy.
Oh,
be a civilian or non-civilian, you are a vet buddy. And at this moment, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and cut to a commercial break. And when we come back, we have a surprise for you. Last week, Nicole was right in the middle of getting ready to tell us something very special about the spotlight guest. And we're all looking forward to hearing that, aren't we, Terry? I think you're looking forward to that too, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Stand by, folks.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to Vet Talk Radio. I'm Kerry Hines with Michael Hopkins. And, of course, his Amazing Angels panel. We're just going to get everybody on in, and I know Nicole is going to take it away. Good morning, Nicole, Michael Hopkins. Good morning, Angels, Katrina, and Noor. Good morning, folks. Good morning.
Good
Michael,
morning,
take
Carrie.
It away.
Good morning.
Good morning,
good morning everybody.
Well, we are doing just fantastic. Hold it. Did you just say good morning and I didn't hear anything? Good morning to you. Folks, are you guys with us this morning?
Good morning. Yes, we're here. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Yes, yes, yes. There you go. All right. So, Michael, please tell us what we can expect. Got the angels on.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. I'm going to turn it over to Nicole because Nicole has another spotlight that she wants to do. And Nicole, go ahead and take it away.
Thank you so much, Michael. All right. Good morning, everyone. So happy to be here this morning. I want to quickly give a shout out to my son. Today is his birthday, and he is 12 years old. His name is Cameron. So I want to say happy birthday to Cameron. Last week, our vet spotlight was Mr. Morgan Freeman. And I want to quickly continue on with the story that I was telling. I just wanted to say that I have family that's in Charleston, Mississippi, and my family and I, we were traveling over to visit our family, and we decided to stop at a gas station real quick, and we pulled in there, and who did we see walking out of the door as I was walking in but Mr. Morgan Freeman himself. And you know, of course, I was shocked. I greeted him and said hello, and he said hello. But it was just real shocking because you see someone of Morgan Freeman's stature. Of course, he's home because that's his hometown there. But Morgan Freeman walks right on out and goes and pumps his own gas. And it was just a complete shock to, one,
wow,
see him, begin to see him walking out of the store and just pumping his own gas. You know, there were other people,
wow,
around. Nobody bothered him and so forth, but that was home for him. So everyone was used to seeing him, but it was just a shock for me because here's Morgan Freeman that I've seen on the big screen on the TV, and he walks out and he is pumping his own gas.
Did you feel like you had just seen God? Remember, Morgan plays God in all these old movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
it was just amazing.
Wow.
It was just completely amazing.
Yes, and a lot of us are unaware that so many of these veterans have gone on to careers in Hollywood. So each week, kind of towards the end of the show, you'll be sharing some of these amazing stories with us.
Exactly, exactly.
Wow.
Now for
I'm excited.
Okay. And now for our vet spotlight for today, Carrie, it is Drew Allison Carey, who was born May 23rd, 1958 in Cleveland, Ohio. After battling depression for much of his youth, Carey decided to enlist in the Marine Corps Reserve in 1980. His enlistment followed him being expelled from Kent State University. The Marines gave him a really strong sense of discipline, work ethic, and the confidence that he needed. He earned a perfect score on his physical fitness test, and his primary military occupational specialty was field radio operator. While in the Marine Reserve, Carey was looking for a way to make more money, and it was suggested that he try using his jokes. Carey last served with the 3rd Battalion, 25th Marine Regiment, and he separated at the rank of sergeant in 1986. Drew Carey made a name for himself in stand-up comedy after serving in the U.S. Marine Corps. He gained stardom in his own sitcom, The Drew Carey Show, and the host of the improv comedy show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? He is currently the game show host of The Price is Right. Our vet spotlight for today, Drew Carey.
All right. Well, I'm loving it. Outstanding. I didn't know Drew was a serviceman, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk Drew Carey was in the Marines of all branches? I would have thought the Army or the Coast Guard, but who would have thought the Marines? And Nicole has so many more that she's going to be bringing on board with us. She really does.
Okay.
Now, what are we going to do now, Carey? We're just going to see each one of my angels just has a personal story that they have with a veteran that returned home. And Katrina has an interesting story that she wants to tell
now
us.
We've got about 3 minutes to go. So, guys, we're going to do a quick story, a quick go around the panel this morning. And this is why we want you guys to stay tuned each week for a brand new episode. So, Michael, who do you want to start with?
Oh, it's Katrina. Yes, Katrina's going to start.
Hello. Yes, I want to talk about a cousin of mine who came home. He was a little different. He stayed shot away, but he ended up coming home from back when they were out getting Bin Laden. And what he would have to do was take the ammunition and everything, and he has pictures where they blew up, where they found them, and everything. But he still also has pictures of a lot of his friends that he also lost during that battle up over there as well. But he's better than what he was, but he stays distant and shy from the family when he first come home. And now that I know why, I understand him more.
Wow. Well, Katrina, thank you very much. I have to tell you, that is, and you told us in like 5 seconds. I mean, what a story. So I'm hoping these shows go on, Michael, you'll really be able to delve into some of these amazing stories from the families. I know that we have to get on the other angels. What we'll do, we'll move you guys to next week on the broadcast, and also remind everybody that today's show will air as part of the entire 3-hour Hair Radio morning show. We're going to share it on Facebook in just a little while, so hopefully you guys follow me at Carey Hines on Facebook or the Hair Radio show, and we're going to get you guys, we'll share the entire 3 hours. So you've got to listen all the way towards the end of the broadcast in order to hear the Vet Talk part of it. So, Michael, I want to say thank you. What a great show today. What about you?
Oh, yes, yes, Carrie, yes. It was a great show today. Just having Sergeant Major on here, it just, you know, it makes me feel real good. Reason being is because, you know, he has that way about him of making you feel good with your military service.
Absolutely.
He really
all
does.
All right, well, we're going to see you guys next week. Now, I'll be back tomorrow for our Wednesday episode of the Hit Radio Morning Show from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Again, I'm Carrie Hines with the entire panel for Michael's Angels, of course, Noor, Katrina, Nicole, and, of course, the host, Mr. Michael Hopkins. And to all of our veterans out there, we thank you so very much for your service. We'll see you back here next week. We're going to get the Vet Talk Radio Show outro started. And again, thank you. Again, thanks for the guests and everybody else. And thanks to all of our listeners. We really appreciate you. All right, Michael, we'll see you next week for another episode of Vet Talk Radio.
Right. Now
let's thank you for listening to Vet Talk Radio with Michael Hopkins, produced by Carrie Hines exclusively for Hair Radio. Catch live episodes each Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central as part of the Hair Radio Morning Show lineup. And each show replays on our very own platform at www.hairradio.com. Saturday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. This broadcast is sponsored in part by our friends at FixYourFeet.com. Rugged Evolution, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, and our entire sponsorship family. We thank Michael Hopkins and his Angels panel and all of you. Thank you.